is a knife I have in my hand. Have you gone mad, my sane husband? There was a knife, but I lost it.
Isn't it fascinating how the timing always lines up like a rigged game of dominoes? Just as the Epstein files start spilling out their filthy secrets, names, dates, and depraved dealings that could topple empires.
There are code words that suggest Jeffrey Epstein and his associates could maybe even be engaging in some sort of consumption. Is that human consumption?
The media machine cranks into overdrive with blatant distractions and a minimization press.
That bomb squad vehicle just pulled back in, but the two SWAT vehicles and the mobile command center are still out there somewhere. We were made aware of a location that they might be traveling to.
Election fraud gets criminally exposed in broad daylight with whistleblowers and evidence piling up like unpaid bills.
Normally you would expect to see a smooth curve going up. Not any big spikes. That's kind of what Greg was talking about, the anomalies of loading and uploading those votes. So that big spike that occurs there is a prime indicator of fraudulent voting.
And that's 604,000 votes in 90 minutes. Is that right?
Correct.
Smartmatic has its office in Caracas, and it's co-located with the Consejo National Electoral, the National Electoral Commission. And there's 150 Smartmatic engineers and 150 CNE engineers side by side. And they have two missions. Number one, steal elections. Number two, defeat audit. Study audit. How do different states and different localities
do
conduct
their
audit so that when they're audited, you defeat audit?
And suddenly the SAVE Act, that beacon of voter integrity, born of common sense, loses steam thanks to spineless politicians on both sides of the uniparty aisle playing footsie with the deep state.
The SAVE Act is expected to be brought to the floor for a vote this week. What are your thoughts on that? Are you going to support the SAVE Act?
Not at all. It's a terrible idea. This notion that we want to put more obstacles in the paths of voters is just what Donald Trump wants, fewer people voting. I want every legal citizen in America to be able to vote without obstacles.
Do you think requiring an ID to vote in elections is making it harder?
It's more than that. It's more than an ID. It's proof that you were born in America. So what are we talking about, a passport or a birth certificate? Got one of those handy with you in your purse? I doubt it.
But no, we can't have the masses focusing on the actions of our overlords. Instead, it's wall-to-wall coverage of the Savannah Guthrie kidnapping saga on Fox News and every other propaganda puppet show with regurgitated monotony. But at least we at InfoWars can talk about the sheer volume of dirt they're burying under this avalanche of sensationalism.
Listen to me, because this isn't a reality TV show. This is entertainment. If this is handled wrong, we will have the Great Reset, and you'll be lucky if you're eating bugs. You'll probably be dead. And, of course, now it's come out Lex Wexner, as I told you 15 years ago, was the CIA, Mossad, MI6, mega spy chief running Epstein for George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Barr, putting him on the Trilateral Commission when he's 30 years old, on the commission, not just a subcommission.
The Trilateral Commission is some spooky stuff. People said it was some of the people that, the Illuminati, there's some mystery about it, people that ran the world. It was politicians, but David said most countries, the politicians get elected for 4 years or 8 years, separate from the royal families in England or in the Middle East. Someone's there for 4 years and then they're not there anymore. The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three major continents. So it was the North Americans, the Europeans, and the Asians. So he said to me, would you like to be on the trilateral commission? I was 30 years old.
That's because they have to have a guy trained and ready that's doing the job who will do exactly as they say.
Meanwhile, the propaganda outlets aren't just non-reporting.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Steam Off. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Steam Off because it's a thyroid issue, and the Steam Off has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-element formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
It's with Mr. Yuri Alexandrovich Bezmianov. He was the son of a high-ranking Soviet Army officer. He had an outstanding career with the press agency of the Soviet Union. It turns out that this is also a front for the KGB. He escaped to the West in 1970 after becoming totally disgusted with the Soviet system, and he did this at great risk to his life. He certainly is one of the world's outstanding experts on the subject of Soviet propaganda and disinformation and active measures. When the Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion, what do they mean?
Ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interest of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him.
Do you believe then that men can become pregnant and have abortions?
Yes. What has this world come to? It's come to a world where drag kids actually exist.
And people do ketamine on a couch.
The next stage is destabilization. Economy.
There are some dire predictions on where the world economy is going.
Foreign relations.
Some of the world's superpowers could be on a collision course.
Defense systems.
The U.S. Army is cutting back its expectations due to, quote, unprecedented recruitment challenges.
The next stage, of course, is crisis.
Folks, we're in a crisis.
After crisis, you have so-called the period of normalization.
When we say getting back to normal, we mean something very different from what we're going through right now.
The demoralization process is basically completed already. I could never believe it when I landed in this part of the world that the process will go that fast. This is exactly what the KGB and Marxist-Leninist propaganda wants from Americans, to distract their opinion and attention from real issues of the United States, to have a bunch of duped Americans, then Americans who are healthy, physically fit, and alert to the reality.
What is your ideal political or social structure?
Communist utopia.
That's why my KGB instructors specifically made the point, try to get into filthy rich movie makers, intellectuals, cynical, egocentric people who can look into your eyes with angelic expression and tell you a lie. These are the people who KGB wanted very much to recruit. It's all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders. They are instrumental in the process of subversion only to destabilize a nation. When their job is completed, they think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. The psychological shock when they will see in future what the beautiful society of equality and social justice means in practice, obviously they will join the links of dissenters. The Marxist-Leninist regime does not tolerate these people. In future, these people will be simply squashed like cockroaches. Nobody is going to pay them nothing for their beautiful, noble ideas of equality. The United States is in the state of war. The initiator of this war is the world communist system.
The only solution is communist revolution.
That's why we need communists. That's what we need.
This is it. This is the last country of freedom and possibility.
Okay, so what do we do? What is your recommendation to the American people?
The immediate thing that comes to my mind is, of course, there must be a very strong national effort to educate people in the spirit of real patriotism, number one. Number two, to explain them the real danger of socialist, communist, whatever, welfare state, big brother government. If people will fail to grasp the impending danger, nothing ever can help United States. You may kiss goodbye to your freedom, including your precious lives. I know Americans don't like to listen to things which are unpleasant. I tried to get the message across. To my horror, nobody wanted even to listen, least of all to believe what I had to say. The time bomb is ticking. With every second, the disaster is coming closer and closer. Unlike myself, you will have nowhere to defect to. United States, wake up.
Going on over here. Buckle up, folks. We're going to keep our eye on what's going on right now in Congress. And there's something good happening today. Maybe, possibly. Attorney General Pam Bondi is going to be testifying in front of the House Judiciary Committee today. We're expecting that to happen around 10 a.m. Eastern time. So, you know, I'm a little excited about that. We look forward to doing just that and to see what's going on. What's going to be happening over there. We're also, I should have started with this one. Happy birthday to Alex Jones. Today's his birthday. And, you know, a lot going on over here, but we got to wish the big boss a big old happy birthday as well. I also wanted to get something else as well. I want to talk a little bit about what's happening at the White House because I know a lot of our audience isn't going to be too thrilled with this. But guess what? The Israeli prime minister is meeting with President Donald Trump later today. Not ideal, but he'll be at the White House in the Oval Office for it's going to be closed to the press, they say, but a closed press meeting with him, closed event, no media, but they will be meeting in the Oval Office. That's where we're going with this. That's expected to happen around 11 a.m. Eastern time. If they do somehow, some way allow the media there, we will definitely bring that to you. But for now, it just says it's closed to the press. We're also keeping our eye on a couple of other things as well. The president will be meeting with the special envoy of the UK at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time as well. So we got our eyes on that. But the reason why it was a little bit of a late delay for me is I'm trying to confirm information regarding the FAA, and I actually just got this update in. And, you know, I was trying to contact the Pentagon because I was hearing from sources that there was something with Fort Bliss going on. But I just posted this tweet. You may have seen it. We just posted this right now. The FAA is saying that the El Paso airspace is no longer closed. Now, initially, there was a report that came out from Fox, and I'll play it for you in just a second. But they claim that the airspace was closed. But according to the FAA, the temporary closure of the airspace over El Paso has been lifted. There's no longer, well, I guess they're saying there's no threat to commercial aviation. All flights will resume as normal. So obviously nothing about this screams normal to me, considering the fact that they closed it very last minute for 10 days. 10 days was what they were saying, and they were citing national security for the reason. This was actually the initial report that dropped just about like an hour ago on Fox News. Take a listen.
The FAA is halting all flights to and from El Paso, Texas for 10 days for unspecified special security reasons. And they're warning that any pilots who don't comply, quote, may be intercepted, detained, and interviewed by law enforcement. El Paso Airport confirming the news in a statement saying, in part, the FAA on short notice issued a temporary flight restriction halting all flights to and from El Paso. Commercial airlines operating out of El Paso are being informed of the restriction, which appears to be security related. Southwest, United, American, and Delta all operate flights there. And Fort Bliss Army Base is right next door.
As you heard, Fort Bliss is right next door, but apparently they're saying everything's A-okay. Now, I also did reach out to the Pentagon for comment. The Pentagon not giving comments as of yet, but said that they were waiting for the FAA to release their statement. So I'm expecting possibly we'll have something else there later. But as of right now, it looks like they're just trying to squash it and move on. But folks, 10 days as a temporary closure, and it randomly happened. This didn't seem planned at all. The commercial airlines are obviously very fired up about this because they were unaware. It can't just go away. We need an explanation as to finding out what was going on there. So we'll take a listen to that when we do get some more information. Obviously, they know I've inquired for further details so I could break it down for all of you. I want to bring you an update, though, on Arctic Frost because, folks, These senators are really fired up that their own records were targeted, and they're not very happy about this. Now, again, I've been talking about this, and I've been telling you guys, the real issue here isn't the fact that members in the Senate and Congress, in the House specifically, were targeted. The issues here all have a lot to do with what we've been talking about, the fact that our government has been surveilling us illegally for far too long. But the only reason why these senators are now getting fired up over the issue is because it affects them. It affects them. You see, they think that they are some type of special class, and they don't have to abide by anything. And the fact that, oh, well, we keep extending FISA, we keep defending FISA for American citizens to be surveilled without, you know, any type of warrant. They're okay with that. But when it happens to them, they're fired up. Well, yesterday on the Hill, there was also testimony being given by a lot of the cell phone providers. AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon were there. Now, T-Mobile and AT&T did send their CEOs to speak, but Verizon didn't. And Senator John Kennedy, in clip two, ripped into the Verizon lawyer who was there rather than the CEO. Take a listen.
Mr. Miller, you're the general counsel of Verizon, is that right?
Of our consumer group, Senator.
Who is your CEO?
Dan Schulman is the CEO.
Could you get closer to the mic, please?
Dan Schulman is
the
CEO.
Why isn't he here today?
Senator, I understood that you wanted a legal department representative.
No, we invited him. Why didn't he come?
Senator, that was my understanding, is that you were looking for legal department testimony.
Well, does he know you're here?
Yes, Senator.
Oh. Is he too tired? I mean, is he too busy to come?
Absolutely not. Mr. Schulman is very focused on finding the right solutions for the committee.
I can tell.
We've been talking about
it. Does he not respect the United States Senate?
He absolutely respects the United States Senate.
Maybe he's tired. Could he be tired? I looked up his salary last year. He made $71 million. Maybe he's been up all night counting his money and he's tired. Could that be it?
No, Senator. Mr. Schulman has only recently been appointed the CEO of Verizon.
All right, as many of you guys know, I cannot stop playing John Kennedy sound bites. It's kind of an obsession at this point, only because of the fact that he is just so clever and he just goes to places that most people don't even think to go to. So you got that one there. But it wasn't just Kennedy poking at Verizon. Keep in mind, Verizon was issued a subpoena, but apparently, and this is the key point to all of this, apparently they did not. Okay, so let's just actually, the subpoenas did not command companies to turn over the content of lawmakers' calls. Again, they were just the records itself, but the companies were bound by the non-disclosure orders to be able to detail this to members on the Hill. So keep that in mind. Okay. But Verizon, it sounds like, didn't really fight back legally when they were handed these subpoenas. And that's why they're being called out about this in clip three. Take a listen.
You, as Mr. Miller, why didn't you do any of this?
Senator, at that time, and I recognize we should have had a better process here, but at that time, we did not train our subpoena analysts to do a searching inquiry into the subscriber associated with the particular.
What does that mean? What does that mean? You just didn't bother to try and associate the phone number with any name?
Senator, we respect the privacy of our customers, and we did not want...
Apparently not, because you turned over every piece of information from every senator sitting on this dais who got any illegal subpoena. You turned it over with no process at all. So let's skip that part. Just get to the part where you tell me why you didn't do anything that Mr. McAtee did.
Senator, the process we have in place now would largely...
I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in why you didn't do any of the basic... investigation, ask a question, you get a subpoena for all of these numbers, and your testimony is you just handed over the documents, you didn't do anything? Is that what happened?
Three reasons, Senator. So first, when we receive a subpoena, we do not know the nature of the investigation or the sensitivities involved. Second, as I mentioned, we train our subpoena analysts to respect the confidentiality and the privacy of our...
So you don't try to match up, you don't look and match up the numbers. You're telling me you don't try to associate a number with a name. You don't do that.
No, Senator. We do now for members of Congress, but that was not the procedure at the time.
Really? Because you testified to Senator Durbin not long ago that you disclosed all of the names to this committee of all of the people who are associated with the numbers, including mine. So clearly you had the ability to do it. You just didn't do it. Is that correct?
We had the ability to do it. Yes.
But you didn't do it.
We thought we had good reasons for that, Senator.
Why is that? You don't have any problem associating names with accounts when you go to bill people, which you do every month. I seem to recall getting a bill from you monthly. You had no problem associating my name with my number when you wanted money from me. But when it came to protecting the basic rights of your consumers, your subscribers, your customers, you couldn't be bothered?
No, Senator, I would not say that.
I would. I think I just did.
I would too.
Senator,
why didn't you follow the contract that you have with the United States government? You've got a contract worth millions of dollars with the United States government, which obligates you to inform the Sergeant at Arms if you get any requests for process or information from a senator or any number associated with that contract. That contract was in place, and that language was in place when these subpoena requests came through, and you didn't do any of it. Why is that?
Senator, I don't agree that we've...
You don't agree with what?
That we violated the contract.
Really? The contract says that you are obliged to inform the Senate when any records are demanded. And I'm quoting here from a letter, not from Senator Graham, not from a Republican. It's from Senator Ron Wyden, who sent a Dear Colleague letter to every member of the United States Senate May 21st, 2025, notifying us that these contract terms were being regularly violated by your company, among others. So why didn't you follow the contract that you were making millions of dollars on? Why didn't you do that?
Senator, I get your frustration with this issue, but the contract...
No, I just want the truth. I'm frustrated because we get the runaround constantly. We've gotten it all day from you. So why didn't you follow the contract?
Senator, all right, folks, I'm going to step in on this. This is a big back and forth, but as many of you guys know, these senators tend to think that they are part of an exclusive class that should not have to... These types of things shouldn't happen to them. Apparently, they think now that these phone companies, when they're issued these subpoenas, should run their names to see if they're a high-profile official and it should be worth some type of exemptions. I guess that's what they're trying to allude to, folks. But they're not better than you and I, and that is the truth in all of that. I want to get to exclusive breaking news right now. It looks like, as we reported earlier in the show, regarding the El Paso airspace being temporarily shut down, I'm being told by an administration official that the airspace was shut down due to Mexican cartel drones that breached the U.S. airspace. The Department of War took action to disable those drones. The FAA and Department of War have determined there is no longer a threat to the commercial travel. But again, they are specifically telling us that this is due to Mexican cartel drones that they just recently disabled and have prevented from launching an attack. Folks, this is obviously or possibly an attack. I mean, we don't know exactly what they were doing in our airspace. So keep that in mind, folks. This is obviously something that is very, very, that is a national security issue. That is a national security issue. I'll keep contacting people and trying to reach out. But folks, that is big, big news. Again, this is only happening now, it looks like, due to the fact that the Mexican cartel drones breached U.S. airspace. That is a very, very big one, of course, and they're right by Fort Bliss, so that is a big, big deal. And we'll keep following this, of course, as it develops. But again, that's what an administration official has just told me in response to all of this, so we'll keep our eye on just that. A lot happening here on this Wednesday, gotta say. It's quite the eventful Wednesday so far. A lot going on, a lot happening, and I'm just trying to keep up with all of this. It's a lot. It definitely is a lot. And speaking of that, you know, I don't think most Americans even realize it right now, but FISA is going to be up for renewal soon, and this kind of brings us back to the Arctic Frost stuff. Because this needs to be, and everyone needs to, like, constantly post about this on their social media feed right now. Like, the American people need to realize what's on the table right now. We're going to do a deep dive in just a few moments. I mean, this is going to be a big one. Nobody's talking about this. FISA is up for renew. It's actually set to expire either on April 19th or the 20th. Now, this doesn't go through without Congress, and that's a key point to all of this. Congress has to give its blessing, and they're going to obviously be looking to do just that. Every time we hear the defense as to why we need to extend FISA, they always say, oh, it's because the president's intel briefings are based off of FISA. But there's no elements that stop them from being able to warrantlessly surveil American citizens. And in clip 11, Mike Lee actually brought that up yesterday. And I think it's something that we need to keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. And Senator Mike Lee did just that. Take a listen.
One of them that is particularly relevant in the coming weeks involves Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. As the name implies, this is supposed to be about getting communications of foreign adversaries, not American citizens. But as with what we're covering here, these requests from telecommunications companies backed by a non-disclosure order, so too with FISA 702. Somebody can, metaphorically speaking, be run over without ever knowing what happened, without ever knowing that they were victimized. Perhaps ever, perhaps not for months or years after the fact, after the damage has been done, after their privacy has been invaded, after their constitutional rights have been trampled. That's why Congress has no business reauthorizing FISA 702, as it's being called upon to do in the coming months, without a warrant requirement applicable to inquiries involving U.S. citizens and other U.S. persons. The Fourth Amendment matters. And political warfare, lawfare, is bad. We shouldn't weaponize these things, and we should put in place protections to make sure that the Fourth Amendment's protections, fought for many centuries in this country, and that have a tradition that goes back centuries before we were even a country in England. These things matter. We have to make sure that they are not rendered dead letter. And I can tell you, we're heading dangerously in that direction now.
Obviously, we are all well aware, especially if you watch InfoWars, about the dangers of FISA and what they've done to the American people. It's crazy because the senator here in Texas, actually, John Cornyn, decided to go out. And this was about a year ago when they were trying to confirm Pam Bondi as AG, decided to come out swinging and defending FISA by saying that we needed it because of how important the intel was that we got from it. And he also went on to deny the fact that FISA was ever used to illegally surveil an American citizens. He said it never has. And he even labeled that as disinformation. This is what they're going to do. And Americans need to wake up. Now is the time to push back on FISA being renewed. Because, folks, they're going to continue to try to spy on the American citizen. Of course, without any warrants, they do this all the time. They try to get away with this. They try their very best to do just that. Now is the time for us to fire up on this issue. We need to be speaking out. President Trump was illegally surveilled due to FISA, and we need to continue to go out there and remind him of just that. There's no reason why they can't sit there and add an element of making sure that American citizens aren't spied on without a warrant. There's no reason. Absolutely no reason. They continue to lie to people like Cornyn by telling them, it was never used against the American people. No, it was. It was. We have a laundry list of those cases. And actually, it was also used, by the way, on, and this is a nice little way to kind of swing over a bridge, BLM protesters were also illegally surveilled through FISA as well. So, folks, the evidence is all out there as whether or not these American or the American people decide to get together and to start speaking out on this issue. We got to get ahead of this. FISA is set to be renewed. Congress is going to be looking to do just that. Obviously, that's up in April. So I'm going to keep telling you, we might just do like a daily FISA update every day on this show because, folks, this is something that needs to be looked at for sure, for sure. In the meantime, though, speaking of something to look at, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. If you're looking to save on some of your favorite supplements right now, we're offering bundles. And the deals are actually really impressive. It's 50% off when you get the two bundles that we have up on the website right now. For an example, if you're getting something like the Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle, well, folks, that includes colostrum, methylene blue, methylene red. And instead of paying $210 for all of that, which is the normal value, you're going to get it for $99.99. So you got to head on over to the shop right now and make sure you snag these deals. They're only going to last for a couple more hours. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab it before it's too late.
Ladies and gentlemen, methylene blue is incredible, and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexjonesstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, ultra methylene blue, at thealexjonesstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that methylene blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked. It's showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all on board with us today. A lot happening over here. As many of you guys know, it was kind of a frantic morning when we got word that the El Paso airspace was shut down. In case you didn't know, it was shut down earlier this morning. The report claimed originally that the airspace was going to be shut down for about 10 days, which is quite bizarre because it wasn't scheduled. But, you know, I went around, reached out to sources, reached out to both the FAA and the Pentagon as well, because Fort Bliss is actually right near that airspace. And so that's why it was so concerning at first. Well, we're learning more and more about all of that. And we did get comment back. A administration official tells me that the El Paso airspace was temporarily shut down due to Mexican cartel drones, which breached U.S. airspace. The Department of War took action to disable the drones. The FAA and Department of War have determined there is no threat to commercial travel. Now, since all of this went down, they're claiming that they're going to open up the airspace again, and so that temporary shutdown is no longer. But this is a big issue, a very, very big issue. And I want to make sure we get someone on who could speak to this issue, someone who's actually been working on this. Matt Tardy will be joining us in about 10 minutes, and he'll be detailing what this actually means. Now, he was the one who actually broke a story while filling in for me broke a story regarding the Mexicans military, believed to be, operating here in the United States. So this is a big deal. This is a big, big deal. So we look forward to having Matt on the program in just a bit. Again, he'll be joining us in about 10 minutes. So when he's ready to begin, you know, discussing all this, we'll bring him straight to you, obviously. But folks, that is a big, big issue. And we're all over right now. I'm reaching out to all sources to figure out what the heck is going on here. So we'll keep you in the loop as that develops. But speaking of developments, it's been quite the development, given the fact that President Donald Trump is going around and he's endorsing a lot of questionable people. But there was a very questionable endorsement that he made yesterday that had me scratching my head because it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. President Trump has now backed the reelection of Congresswoman Marie Salzer. And folks, this woman, she is a World Economic Forum puppet, this woman. He wrote in a post, and I'll briefly go over it, that she's doing a truly fantastic job representing the wonderful people in Florida's 27th congressional district. She's a former news anchor and political reporter, and Maria knows the wisdom and courage required to confront the corrupt fake news. That's a big issue, of course, that you want from your congresswoman. He goes on to saying that keeping our border secure, stop migrant crime. Apparently, that's a top issue, which is not the case if you're Maria Salzer. He goes on to saying that she has his complete and total endorsement for reelection. She will never let you down. Well, you don't have to dig too far into the archives to figure out whether or not that's true or not. Will Maria Salzer let us down? All you got to do is look back at what she said last week. And all you'd see is that this is a woman who stands not only for like amnesty, which is kind of wild, given the fact that she claims to be a Republican, but she doesn't want you putting your hands on her gardeners or her house cleaners. They must stay. And that was the message that she had in clip four. Take a listen.
But don't touch the nannies or the gardeners or the ones who are picking up the jalapeno peppers or the oranges or the berries or the ones in the dairy houses. Come on. Those people are helping us eat better, cheaper homes, cheaper vegetables, and better fruits.
Ah.
So those are the ones that we are trying to give a dignified status.
Ah, those are the ones. Those are the ones. Well, I know that there's been a record of, you know, just gardeners, people getting your jalapenos, those illegals, not just stopping at picking your jalapenos, but also going around and raping women in this country. So we're not going to sit here and pretend like they're innocent. And then when you start saying, oh, well, we're going to allow certain slave labor in this country. We're going to allow these people to work for a couple of dollars a day picking our fruits and vegetables. What do you think that does? Well, the worst of the worst are then going to disguise themselves as individuals who are just picking your jalapenos, Congresswoman, and they're going to use that as a way to get into our country and stay in our country. We have people here who want to destroy this country. I don't care what you do while you're here, whether you're just picking a jalapeno or two or you're just an innocent gardener. It doesn't matter. They all must go. To sit here and play this little game while we pretend like we need these people for our economy, we don't. We don't. It is slave labor, and that is exactly what they're advocating for. And I think it's pretty outlandish that President Trump has just backed this congresswoman. You know, I'm watching Laura Loomer on X, and she just keeps going after this endorsement because this is a really, really bad endorsement. This woman, who I went after her for, had no problem going to the World Economic Forum and not advocating for our freedoms, but instead was just getting in line with everything that you see that the WEF stands for. And that's exactly what's going on here today. That is the fallout. And it's super, super frustrating that the president continues to back these type of people. We don't need Maria Salzer. There's other. And if you want to just say, I mean, the entire area that she represents has incredible anti-communist, Hispanic, conservative, whether they're Catholic. I mean, they have a bunch, an abundance of great candidates in that region. We don't need to settle. We don't need to settle. This is the problem. This is the problem with these endorsements, is it doesn't allow other candidates to have their names get circulated. So we'll never do better. We'll never beat out the swamp. Why? Because guess what? People like Salzer get elevated pretty damn quickly in this party because they don't care. Nobody cares about these endorsements. We're just sitting here passing out nonsense endorsements to horrible candidates. And I've just had enough of this. I've had enough of seeing this. Nor, I don't want to be a black pill, but folks, the reality of it is there's no justification for this endorsement. There are other candidates who maybe don't have the biggest financial backing, who we should be able to hear from them and allow the people in Florida to decide who they want representing the 27th congressional district. President Trump's endorsement here is not fair. We could do better. Maria is not the person to represent those in the 27th congressional district. It's just the case. And we keep doing this to ourselves. We keep allowing these crappy endorsements to get through. And I don't think President Trump even knows. Obviously, he's very busy. He has no idea what's actually happening here. But guess what? Guess what? They keep making their way in. Folks, I'm told Matt Tardio is going to be on the program in just a second. He is ringing into us right now. So once we get him, we'll bring him in on that El Paso story, because that's a crazy story that's breaking now. Obviously, a lot developing there. And we're keeping you in the know. I'm trying my best to pay attention to my phone, because that's where everyone's writing me right now as this story continues to develop. So stay put there. Don't get too upset with me as I continue to look down at my phone to figure out what the heck is going on right now. Sounds like Matt Tardio is up and ready, and he is joining us now to discuss. Matt Tardio is a veteran. He's a podcast host as well, and he's also a veteran member of law enforcement. So it's good to have Matt on the program today. Very last minute. Matt, thank you for jumping on with me. For our audience, you can find him at AngerTab on X. Give that a follow. I wanted to talk to you about this because this has a lot to do with your original reporting that you actually did here on InfoWars just a couple of weeks ago. But let's just go over the overview, what we know right now. The El Paso airport, the airspace itself was shut down temporarily this morning. Now, originally it was saying that this was going to take place for several days. But since then, now the FAA is coming out and saying, no, the threat's no longer there. But according to those that I've spoken to, this has to do with, which is wild, but this has to do with a Mexican cartel drone, which apparently breached U.S. airspace. The Department of War took action to disable the drone. The FAA and Department of War have determined there is no threat to commercial travel. So, Matt, break this all down for us, because Fort Bliss is obviously right next door.
Yeah, Fort Bliss is right next door to it, along with a major oil refinery that's also right next door to that airport. Mm-hmm. And so they closed off airspace for 10 days below 18,000 feet. And there's two different things that we can look at when we're talking about 18,000 feet. You know, one is obviously the drones. If they have, you know, the ability to detect incoming drones that are on their way over into the United States, obviously the main concern would be a one-way suicide attack drone. And the way radar works is it's all by radar cross section. This is one of the issues that Israel has up inside of their northern border, you know, battling these Hezbollah drones that are coming south into Israel. Because you have aircraft and things like that that are flying, you know, the drones are going to have a much smaller radar cross section. And so if you have aircraft that are flying through the area and you're used to detecting those aircraft, it's great. Well, when you start bringing that radar cross section down, it starts picking up on, you know, pretty much anything and everything that's flying, that's going through the air. So drones would be, you know, the one main concern. The other issue that I ended up seeing was the elevation that they had closed everything off, essentially the floor for the aircraft that they're not allowed to fly below, which was 10 or 18,000 feet. You know, the other issue that goes in with making sure that they're not going below 18,000 feet is man pads, or, you know, like shoulder fired surface to air munitions targeting aircraft, right? Like SA-7s is one that a lot of people are familiar with. Those max out at about 20,000 feet, and they most certainly would fall within the range, you know, depending on where the cartel's at on that side of the border for targeting aircraft that would be coming in as well. When Trump was running for office, it was rumored that some SA-7s had made their way into the United States, and that they were going to be using those to target his aircraft here in the United States as well. And I'm going to be honest with you, probably one of my biggest concerns that I've saw, because there was another NOTAMs that got issued out of New Mexico, if I remember correct. I wasn't able to verify that one before I came on the show. That's why you guys saw me typing and stuff. But, you know, it is one-way suicide attack drones while we are getting ready to, you know, launch these attacks on Iran. So Maduro was rumored, all right, to have been giving diplomatic passports to members of Hezbollah. And if that's the case, and we have members of Hezbollah here in the United States of America, Hezbollah and the IRGC work hand in hand together. And, you know, the IRGC and Russia also work hand in hand together. So one of the biggest concerns that I have at this point in time, knowing that we're looking at drone attacks coming over into the United States of America, is these one-way suicide attack drones actually being launched from within U.S. territory. From what we've seen going on over on the front lines inside of Russia and Ukraine is, you know, some of these drones, and I've tracked them down on my own own accord taking the different components and whatnot. And you can build these things for fairly cheap off of, you know, these Chinese websites, throwing them together for under $500. And those drones in particular that they're able to slap together that pretty much mimic the Iranian Shahid drones have made it hundreds of miles, not one, not two, not three, but hundreds of miles into NATO airspace over inside of Poland. And so these are major concerns, you know, obviously that the United States would have. And I would think that this is in direct correlation with our upcoming strikes on Iran, and that they likely are going to have some sort of retaliation here in the United States as well.
Okay, so the interesting part here is the FAA shut down the airspace for 10 days temporarily. And obviously that's quite mm-hmm. strange. Do you like have any insight on that as to why, or just kind of a guesstimate as to why they would pick 10 days? I mean, it just seems very random, the timeline that they gave themselves after getting this or after having to shoot down these drones, it sounds like.
Yeah, so you have intelligence and your intel isn't going to, it might not give them a specific, you know, time frame, right? The United States government has intel networks. We have, you know, assets and agents that are running all around the world. So it wouldn't surprise me if we have them down in Mexico as well, that might say, hey, they have, you know, X amount of drones that they are prepared to launch. But they don't know particularly the time frame in which those drones would be launched from, and therefore they're going to take an overabundance of caution in order to shut it down. That way that they can actually close that radar cross-section out a little bit and be able to start identifying those drones as they get launched.
Yeah, well, that's also the really concerning part here. And, you know, we're not hearing specifically how they took down these drones. I don't know if I should probably, because I did assume and say that they shot them down. Are there other methods that could be utilized to take down these drones, or would it have to require the Department of War to shoot them down physically?
Yeah, most of the time they're shooting them down, right? Like the United States government has came up with some new anti-drone technology. It's been one of the biggest pains in the butt, like I said, over on the war in Israel. And they were working with the United States government. If everybody remembers the port that Joe Biden built that ended up costing U.S. service members their lives for a horrible, horrible project. You know, one of the things that actually got staged outside of there was one of these new anti-drone systems that the United States government had, you know, built and acquired. And we've been working with Israel to get these things down, but primarily it's shooting them down. There is new technology that's out there, in forms of lasers and things like that, that can actually just burn them straight out of the sky. There is also electronic warfare equipment, you know, GPS jamming, things of that nature. So typically, you know, when you're talking about some of these cheaper drones, they're first person view drones, kind of like, anybody familiar with Call of Duty that launches a drone and can fly it into their target. They're a lot like that. But a lot of them also have backup redundant systems that work off GPS, right? And so the GPS is guided into that system as well. So if you're able to jam that GPS, then you're doing a heck of a lot better. Most of them that are being utilized overseas are working with, you know, either Starlink or cell signal, things of that nature. And they're jumping from server to server as they're going across. And so there is different ways to jam those. But the problem is it doesn't knock it out of the sky. And it's going to impact something eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I could see that being an issue here. And Matt, you know, the last time you filled in for me, you were talking in regards to, a report that you were working on. And I actually reached out for comment. They never did give us comment back over at DHS, but there was the report that you were breaking down about possibly the Mexican military operating here in the United States, being given, and I'll let you tell the story to our audience in case they missed it, but being given possibly prior authorization to be able to use a certain area. Can you just detail what the latest on that is and what you've learned since then? Because that's another one. It kind of, for me, kind of sounds like the two of them might be maybe possibly related, but I could be actually swinging too high on that one.
Yeah, you might be swinging a little bit high just because of the distance in between the two. But as far as the latest on it goes, DHS is completely silent. We've been told that there is an open investigation into the incident. And whether or not it was the Mexican military, which I am starting to seriously doubt and thinking that it's likely cartel members that just happened to wear the uniforms of the Mexican military and work their way into the United States of America. Questions as to what they were actually doing and what they were looking for on U.S. territory is a very serious concern. You know, you start thinking about regular old Americans. If you saw a bunch of guys in camo shaking door handles on your property, you're liable to shoot them, you know, depending on the area in which you're in. And I know a lot of Americans feel the same way. And you're talking about something that could cause a major international incident, you know, within that, especially when you have what appears to be uniformed members of the Mexican military, right? Not to mention what, you know, they were armed. They were carrying firearms. So what happens when or if they would have shot members of the United States? I mean, that's also an issue. You know, U.S. citizens, Border Patrol agents, anybody that works for DHS, local law enforcement, et cetera. I mean, it's a problem. And again, no members of, you know, DHS, the Bureau, anybody that I can tell from the videos that I saw, there wasn't a single member of law enforcement from the U.S. side with them.
Well, Matt, we're keeping our eye on all of this, and I appreciate you jumping on last minute because I know you have a very busy schedule, especially because you do your own show as well. So thank you for jumping on with us. Grateful for that. We'll keep our eye on it. And if you hear any developments, feel free to shoot it over because we're trying to watch what's going on here. This is a big story. So thank you.
Of course. Yeah. And it's the main concern that right now with this attack going on with Iran and the amount of folks that are pushing here in the United States, retaliatory attacks by Iran, leading up to this. So these could be some of the main reasons for delays. I got told, unconfirmed, by the way, that these were, trigger-based attacks that are supposed to be launched against the United States. And so it could be right now that we're holding off on launching the attack on Iran until we identify more of these networks, because the trigger for these networks attacking us were supposed to be when the U.S. bombed Iran. And that's what I have been, informed of.
Isn't that fascinating? No, that really is. That really is. And that's horrifying at the same time, too. I feel like we're sitting ducks right now.
Matt, well, that's what we get for having unsecure borders. I mean,
I know. Well, we've been talking about this, and I was hoping that the administration was making a top priority to go after all the sleeper cells. But it's got me on edge these days, Matt. It's got me on edge. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Guys, give him a follow on X. He does incredible work. Anger Tab is where you could find him at. Give him a follow right now. All right, folks. I want to dive back into something else, too, as we continue to discuss what's happening all around the world. Specifically, I want to go with the report that came out for the Wall Street Journal yesterday about Nigeria. The United States, is, according to their report, is sending 200 troops to Nigeria to train the country's military to fight against the Islamist militants. And this is according to the Wall Street Journal. Now, it's interesting, given the fact that why are we training them? That's concerning, obviously, that we're going to have boots on the ground. This is obviously something that this is a region that's obviously spewing with a lot of Islamic terrorists. And so when we hear that we have 200 members of our military there, I'm a little on edge. But in clip five that we're going to play for you, Congressman Riley Moore details specifically what he's hearing from sources in regards to what the current status of Christians in Nigeria is. Take a listen.
On the ground have described what's happening in the Middle Belt in the north of Nigeria right now in the last 10 days as a bloodbath. Potentially as many as 300 have been killed throughout that region of Nigeria. We've had this priest who has been kidnapped as well with 10 of his parishioners. Three of them were killed. In one of the states of Nigeria where we had about 150 people killed, and I will point out, a lot of those were Muslims, actually, that were refusing to submit to Sharia law and were trying to follow the constitution of Nigeria. They were killed, but amongst those were also Christians, and they were burned inside of a church. They set it on fire. So it's just wanton death and murder and destruction that continues. But working with the administration, we are making steps in the right direction to address this persecution. The president is very singularly focused on addressing this. We now have special forces in Nigeria in a non-combative manner. They're there assisting the Nigerians. We have just signed a security cooperation roadmap with the Nigerian government and their military to continue to work on this. And we have also conditioned their security assistance in the last state foreign operations bill and appropriations that was just signed into law by President Trump.
Yeah, this is a lot of movement. You were talking about that one area, and residents told Reuters the attackers that hit their village were jihadists. In fact, these Islamic radical jihadists are what are being pointed to. You and I have talked about them before. They had been preaching inside their village, urging the locals to abandon Nigeria's state and their religion, Christianity, and adopt Sharia rule. When the villagers refused, the militants opened fire on them. So you're right. It's not just the people who are already Christians. It's those who might be open to helping Christians at this point. And I know that Nigeria's president, Tinubu, has said that they've employed an army battalion to some of these areas. Are we making enough difference to where he's going to take some real action now?
Yes, but one of those actions that he needs to take, and he has said, he stated this publicly just recent, when he was prior to being president, was in the Senate, or governor rather, is that he wanted to see a federalized police force, which is absolutely something that has to happen. Mm. Each state has to have the ability to secure their own people. Right now, you just have the police force in Abuja. It's a national police force. We need to arm the different police forces of the states throughout Nigeria to be able to protect the Christians that are being martyred throughout this country and provide security in a country that is facing massive insecurity challenges because of this centralized control right now that's been taking place.
Well, look, Congressman Moore, I know you've...
All right, so I'm going to step in on this because, you know, I did verify this with sources who I do trust in regards to the report that you just heard from Congressman Moore, and they did say that, yeah, this is actually true. It's kind of hard sometimes to sift through the corporate media reporting on Nigeria and figure out what's true and what's false, because a lot of the times they're trusting sources that aren't actual sources in Nigeria. And again, it's a lot of misinformation there. But they did say to me that everything that you just heard Moore say is factually true, which is obviously very important, that Christians and Muslims are now being slaughtered by these Islamic terrorists. And the reality of it is it continues to be an absolute bloodbath in Nigeria. Now, again, it's deeply concerning that we're going to have U.S. troops on the ground, 200 of them, according to the Wall Street Journal, working with the Nigerian government and its military to try to train them to fight these Islamic terrorists. Again, folks, the government itself is extremely corrupt. This is very, very concerning. If word gets out, I have a bad feeling that these ISIS fighters, and there's a bunch of these different Islamic groups that are out there right now, specifically in Nigeria. I believe there's about four of them right now. Once they get word that the U.S. is there, they're going to do their very best to launch a massive attack. I mean, there's no way that they don't try to do just that. So again, folks, this has me on edge. I know it has a lot of Americans on edge, the fact that we are now going to be sending our troops to the region to help train the Nigerian military. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. So buckle up, folks, buckle up. In the meantime, though, I want to tell you all about the great sale that we have going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, it's 50% off with these two bundles that we've put together for you. It's some of our most popular supplements. We're putting them together to extend this discount to you. So let's say you're a fan of colostrum, methylene blue, methylene red. Right now, you're going to get a special deal when you get the bundle. It's the ultimate gut and brain bundle. It's going to be $99.99. That's literally 50% off. And in case you're looking for something else, maybe you're a Shilajit gummy person, or if I said it too fast, actually, it might have cursed, CMOS capsules or the atomic defense, which we all need right now because we are in flu season. Well, we also have that incredible discount available over with our Modern World Survival Stack, $89.99. Guys, that's 50% off. It's going on right now for a limited time over at thealexjonesstore.com. Bundle over at thealexjonesstore.com right now.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works. It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feeling, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean compared
just
to...
Just the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's, yeah, it's...
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue. At TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Unlimited power!
the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. I've got my eye right now on a congressional hearing that's expected to begin any second now. And it could be a good one if they ask real questions, which I can't promise you, given the fact that it's our own members of the swamp who will likely be present in all of this. The House Judiciary Committee is having a hearing, and Pam Bondi is expected to speak. The Justice Department oversight hearing going on today. It's expected to begin any second now. We will begin bringing that to you once it begins, because I want to hear if anyone's going to ask her some tough questions. I'm sure they're going to mention Epstein. That was on the left. So buckle up, folks. We've got that coming your way in just a little bit. I will also be walking you through the latest developments regarding Epstein. Not much in the way of new things to have dropped, except Congressman Roy Khan, I think I'm saying it wrong, he detailed the six men who we told you about yesterday who are, well, their names were redacted. He actually went onto the House floor yesterday and spoke about their names. Again, it's allegations. Doesn't mean that they were out there sexually abusing children, but their names were redacted, and we will play that clip for you. And I will also offer that disclaimer as well then as well, because mainly due to the fact that, you know, I don't want to accuse someone of doing something that they didn't do, but it makes me concerned when you see the federal government is actually covering up for them. And so I think it's important to play that in its context. We'll also play a clip from Joe Rogan as well, because it gets very, very interesting given the update regarding the FBI and his response to that. So we got that coming your way. We also are keeping our eye as to what's going on in Congress. There are certain members in Congress specifically who are out there right now trying to explain to the American people the threat that this massive Islamic import that we've taken in over these last few years, you know, these millions of Muslims that have come into our country, the threat that it poses here in the United States. A couple of brave groups of individuals have come out and are speaking out against it. And the reason why I call them brave is because once you do, it's a massive attack that's launched your way. People accuse you of, you know, possibly being paid off by Israel. But most importantly, that doesn't even bother me. The point that bothers me the most is the Islamic groups that do actually go after you. So these are brave individuals who are speaking out on the issue. I'm talking about like people like Congressman Andy Biggs, who's running for Arizona governor, and people like Congressman Brandon Gill, who is a congressman here in Texas. These individuals, we've got clips, are out here detailing specifically why this is a threat. Also important to note, Andy Biggs will also be telling us on how Sharia law is actually being utilized here in the United States right now, and you don't even know it. So we'll break that down for you as well. No surprise, but there's a big issue right now, too, with the election integrity battles that's going on right now. As many of you know, the DOJ has been trying to force states, blue states specifically, and some red as well, to cough up their voter rolls because they wanted to look at them. Interesting enough, though, the DOJ just lost its battle in Michigan, and it comes at the hands of a Trump appointee. I will break that report down for you as well, because I read through that. And we also read through the Fulton County. I was the unsealed affidavit on that raid. Wendy Mahoney will possibly be joining us in this hour. Again, it's kind of all we're just winging in at this point because there's so much news breaking. I did ask Wendy. Wendy's an independent journalist who's been covering everything related to Fulton County. I did ask her to come on and step onto the show. So we will see if she's got time to join us. Right now, though, it does look like she'll be with us. But we'll stay put and we'll wait for that one. I don't want to make any promises that we can't keep for you. Also, we do have Joseph McBride joining the program, too. He's a great attorney, a trial attorney, and I wanted his take on everything related to Pam Bondi and what's being said right now in that hearing. So he'll join us on that, plus break down a lot of these legal battles that are going on right now and what it means to the America First movement. I can't say MAGA anymore because it just makes me feel icky. I feel like it's been overtaken. So I guess we'll go with America First at this point. It's an ongoing developing situation. Also, there's a new billionaire moving to Florida, and it has me on edge. It's got me on edge. I don't think it should be allowed. I don't. I'll tell you who it is. It's someone that you and I don't like. And I don't like the fact that they're ditching California, a blue state, and moving to Florida, a red state, because we all know what that means. So folks, buckle up. We got more to discuss in the second hour of the program. A lot happening over here, so stay put.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric
without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us. Second hour of the program. We're keeping our eye right now as to what's happening on the Hill. We are expected to hear from Pam Bondi in a moment as we look on over to see what's happening in the Judiciary Committee hearing today. Jim Jordan just started speaking. They just did the pledge. And we expect it to be underway in just a few moments when that begins, when Pam Bondi begins to speak. We will bring that directly to you, of course. So that should be a good hearing if they ask the tough questions. And we hope they ask the tough questions. But folks, while we wait for that to begin officially, I wanted to talk a little bit about Epstein, because I'm sure that's going to be hot on everyone's minds as we watch this hearing. But specifically, Congressman Ro Khan, this is the individual who's from California, the Democrat, who's been teaming up with Congressman Thomas Massie to bring you the Epstein files. They've been applying a lot of pressure. Now, yesterday we played for you a couple of sound bites, but one from Thomas Massie explaining how there were key individuals whose names were redacted. Now, interesting enough, we now see some of these names. And I want to, before we play this clip, I want to issue you this disclosure. This doesn't mean that these men's name that you're about, the men that you're going to hear, their names, does not mean that they sexually abused children. We have to just be very clear about that. Their names were just redacted. And again, there's a lot of names being thrown out there. Not all of them were abusing children. And unfortunately, due to the fact that we're not getting a real investigation, I don't think we're ever going to know who exactly was raping children on Epstein Island, on his private plane, in his New York City apartment, the New Mexico apartment as well, or the home in New Mexico. I don't think we're going to hear it, but I just want to keep issuing that disclosure so that everyone knows, because, you know, this congressman is saying these names because he has immunity. Okay. So I don't want to misrepresent any of this. I want to be very, very clear. These names that you're going to hear do not indicate any signs of guilt. Take a listen to clip six.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday, Congressman Massie and I went to the Department of Justice to read the unredacted Epstein files. We spent about 2 hours there, and we learned that 70 to 80% of the files are still redacted. In fact, there were six wealthy, powerful men that the DOJ hid for no apparent reason. When Congressman Massie and I pointed this out to the Department of Justice, they acknowledged their mistake, and now they have revealed the identity of these six powerful men. These men are Salvatore Navora, Zurab Mikolads, Leopig Leonor, Nicola Caputa, Sultan Ahmed bin Suleim, CEO of Dubai Ports World, and billionaire businessman Leslie Wexner, who was labeled as a co-conspirator by the FBI. Now, my question is, why did it take Thomas Massie and me going to the Justice Department to get these six men's identities to become public? And if we found six men that they were hiding in 2 hours, imagine how many men they are covering up for in those 3 million files. But the story gets worse. The reality is that Donald Trump's FBI scrubbed these files in March, long before Thomas Massie and I passed the Epstein Transparency Act.
Thank you, Mr.
Now, my bill is clear. The Epstein Transparency Act requires them to unredact those FBI files. And yet the Justice Department said to me and to Congressman Massey, we just uploaded whatever the FBI sent us. And guess what? The FBI sent scrubbed files. That means the survivor's statement to the FBI naming rich and powerful men who went to Epstein's Island, who went to his ranch, who went to his home and raped and abused underage girls or saw underage girls being paraded, they're all hidden. They're all redacted. It's a little bit of a farce. They're inviting all the members of Congress to go to see the Department of Justice, quote-unquote, unredacted files, but they've got all redacted files from the FBI. And it's not the fault of the Justice Department attorneys. They were just told upload things that Donald Trump's FBI had already scrubbed. It's a blatant violation of the Epstein Transparency Act, but it also asks a fundamental question. Who are they protecting? Why are they protecting these rich and powerful men, people I call part of the Epstein class? Why are we in a country where there is no elite accountability for people who do the most heinous things? You have in England the king now calling for an investigation and possible prosecution of his own brother. You have in Norway the princess who no longer has support to be the queen. And yet in the United States of America, we have someone in the cabinet, Howard Lutnick, who is all over these Epstein files, who allegedly had business with Epstein after he was convicted of pedophilia, and he still is in the cabinet. We need to ask ourselves, are we in America going to have elite accountability? Are we going to call on rich and powerful people who broke the law or cavorted with a pedophile, a convicted pedophile? Are we going to call them to account? Are we going to have prosecutions for billionaires who went to this island and either raped underage girls or saw underage girls being raped and didn't say anything? Are we going to have investigations? I'll tell you what this is about. It's not just about the 1,200 survivors. It's about two tiers of justice.
Now, again, those are just allegations, but there's not making a direct connection between the men's names that he did name on the floor and the rapes that were taking place by Jeffrey Epstein and others. So it's very, very clear that we need to be very, very clear about that. I don't know how else to say it. But folks, I think it's important for the American people to hear exactly what's going on right now. This is a newsworthy topic, and we should be able to divulge this information. The DOJ is not doing their job. I mean, the fact that the DOJ is sitting here running cover is deeply, deeply concerning, because we were told, and again, Pam Bondi speaking in just a few moments, we were told that this is a brand new DOJ, that transparency is going to be key under this administration. Doesn't seem to be the case, especially because we're seeing the emails from March of 2025, which show that there were top officials that were supposed to be redacted, their names covered up for it. They weren't victims. They weren't victims. And it's interesting because a lot of people are fired up about this, and it's new. The FBI concluded that Epstein wasn't running a trafficking ring for powerful men, files show. Now, that's a real thing. That did come out recently. Very, very recently. That's under this FBI. And I would love to ask the FBI director directly, do you think that there was no such thing as a sex trafficking ring that was being run by Jeffrey Epstein? It's hard when you sit there and you say they claim that there's over 1,200 victims. It's hard for me to believe that there's over 1,200 victims and there's no sex trafficking ring. And if that's the case, the FBI concluded that, then why the heck is Ghislaine Maxwell sitting in prison right now for human trafficking? Who did she traffic these victims to? The FBI says that there's no trafficking. None of this makes any sense. And in fact, if you feel like this doesn't make any sense, you're not alone. You're not alone. Joe Rogan was actually doing an interview with RFK Jr.'s wife, but he was actually going over that same document I was talking about in clip 7. Take a listen.
FBI concluded Jeffrey Epstein wasn't running a sex trafficking ring for powerful men, file show.
So there you go.
Oh, there you go. Who says that? What's that source?
Yeah, it's going around I just found the place that was showing the headline. It was going around the internet today.
Today?
Yeah, the AP, it's the AP reporting it. Yeah.
Today. Oh, I thought that was from 2005.
This is like the FBI stating
it. I was like,
today.
Oh, that's
That's the gaslightiest gaslighting shit I've ever heard in my life.
Whoa.
What do they think is going on? Just a bunch of fun? Bunch of guys hanging out?
That is...
Being fellas.
having cocktails, talking about science.
They're still looking into it, but they don't have any evidence.
Oh, look into it. Maybe you should get Eddie Bravo on the case.
Looking into it. That is crazy.
The name of a show.
Crazy.
Look into it. Oh, it's so crazy. But there's probably a lot of that that's gone on forever.
Yeah.
And it's also probably a way that they can secure business deals and make sure that people do things they want to do. They have a little something over them. They do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that's what Epstein was all about, was manipulating people and, you know, holding it over their head, getting them to do something.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. It certainly
allegedly.
Seems like that.
Allegedly, allegedly, allegedly. That's what they say every 10 seconds. Allegedly, allegedly, allegedly. It's so unfortunate, right? Because if the FBI authentically did a real investigation, we wouldn't have to worry about, I don't want to falsely accuse anyone of anything. That's never my goal here. I would be able to give you the actual names of the men that were raping children. And fortunately, we can't do that because our federal government's refusing to look over the facts. They're refusing to do the most simple things, like investigate these things. You can't tell me that Jeffrey Epstein wasn't running a human trafficking ring. Then why the heck were you trying to pull up about 3.5 million documents from him? Doesn't make any sense. We're not buying it. The American people have had enough of this. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like there's possibly some type of truth in any of this. Again, this is only being brought forward because President Trump did make it a top campaign issue that he wanted these files released, and the American people wanted to hold him to that because there's been so many questions about all of this, and we're learning more and more. I mean, so many victims came forward to report this to the FBI, and what happened? Nothing. Nothing. This is constantly the problem with this. When women come forward, when girls come forward, when boys come forward to report sexual abuse, they're constantly turned away from law enforcement. And the FBI, it was like a dead zone, right? You gave a tip, you said something happened to you, maybe you heard something happen to someone else, you reported it to the FBI, and all of a sudden nothing goes on. It just dead on arrival. Dead on arrival. We can't look into any of this. But trust the FBI's report that no sex trafficking happened here. So they've done everything possible to make sure the American people can't trust them. And now they're just telling you, just trust me, bruh. I don't trust anything that's coming out right now. I don't. And again, I don't want to accuse men who may have not known who Jeffrey Epstein was prior to his conviction. I don't want to accuse them of sexually abusing children. That's not my intention. My intention is to put out the facts. And unfortunately, because our federal government is refusing to do its job, we can't tell you exactly who is out there raping children. So when these names get circulated, just understand something, folks. Understand that this doesn't mean that they are guilty. Yeah, I think it also means that they're morally corrupt if they were trying to do business with Epstein after he was convicted of all of these heinous crimes. Well, not all of them, sorry. They didn't do a thorough investigation. But everything that was taking place in Florida. If you were doing business with a convicted pedophile, I'm sorry, you're a horrible person. And you should be canceled. Like completely canceled. I don't even call for cancel culture normally. But if you were okay with sitting side by side a convicted pedophile and trying to cut out business deals, but then you say, oh no, I wasn't raping children. I was just there to talk out business with him. And I'm waiting to see Steve Bannon respond to the accusations that have come forward because the text messages that were dropped yesterday that I saw circulating, and I did go back, they did come from Steve Bannon. I think it's worth an explanation. I think the American people need to hear from Bannon. And listen, I've liked the guy. I think he's a great guy. I mean, I love hearing his takes on a lot of things. I think it helps expand the discussion quite often. But when you're looking at these text messages, it looks bad. Everyone should be able to defend themselves, and I want to hear them defend themselves. I want to hear what their takes are on all of this. I don't know. I don't have any personal friends, especially those in the administration, who are texting Jeffrey Epstein. And they've been doing this for years now. It's quite strange that so many people, I mean, we see the documents. President Trump knew that Epstein was a creep years prior. He cut off and severed ties with him. So it's weird to me that other people are still lingering around. Yes, he was obviously a very wealthy man, but still, I guess we all have a price. To keep somebody like Jeffrey Epstein in your orbit, was there really a price tag on that? Even if you weren't trying to do any creepy trips to Epstein Island? We've got a ton of questions that we need answered. And we hope that we get some answers, but probably not today at this hearing. Well, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about Islam. Again, yesterday, there was a couple of very brave members of Congress who were speaking out on the issue of the millions of Muslims who've been imported into this country. And yeah, I get it. Some of them are peaceful. They're not bad people. I get that. But the reality of it is what's in the Quran does not, it doesn't work in the West. It doesn't. And if you say you're a Muslim and you're following what's in the Quran, it does not belong in the West. Congressman Brandon Gill, who's in Texas and who is representing a district, which is another district in Texas, which is being overtaken by these Muslims who have been brought into the country. Well, he's detailing exactly and breaking down what the threat is here on the homeland and what this means to the American people who sit there and say, oh, no, these people are just peaceful, but they want to bring Sharia law in. And he breaks down a poll that details just that. Take a listen to clip 9.
What percentage of U.S. Muslims believe that Sharia law should be implemented in the United States?
So I'm not aware of survey data on that specific question. However,
I can tell you it's 39%. 39% of Muslims in the United States want Sharia law implemented in the next 20 years. Do you know what percentage of Muslims in the United States support the formation of a Muslim political party?
Again, I'm not familiar with survey data on that particular question.
Number is 46%. Do a couple more. Do you know what percentage of Muslims in the United States support making it illegal to show a picture of the cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad?
So as with the other questions, a lot depends on the wording and the sample, and I would want to see those details.
50%. That's a lot. Let's do one more. Do you know what percentage of Muslims in the United States believe that Islam should be declared as our national religion?
Once again, I would want to look at the methodology of the survey, the questions.
33%. This is from a survey conducted by the Heritage Foundation in 2024, in September of 2024. It was published on October 6th, 2024. I got two more for you. Do you know what percentage of American Muslims believe that Israel does not have a right to exist as a Jewish homeland?
I don't know that one either, but if it's from a survey by the Heritage Foundation,
it's 43%. You're happy, you can declare that statistics you don't like aren't true, but that's not how I'm going to operate here. We got one more. Do you know what percentage of Muslims in the United States say that Jewish people have too much power in government policy?
Once again, I would refer you back to my previous answer.
57%. Do those facts concern you?
I would want to see the nature of the survey, and I would also know the Heritage
Foundation. I'm just asking if those statistics concern you.
If they were accurate, they would be a matter of concern, but I would want to see.
They are accurate, and I think that they are a matter of concern, and I think most Americans agree with me.
All right. So obviously it comes from the Heritage Foundation, so spare me a bit with that one, but, it is obviously concerning. It is obviously concerning. And the Jewish part to me doesn't really concern me because we obviously know there's a deep history there and all of that. But the part that really concerns me is the Sharia angle to all of this, that they do truly believe that we should be following Sharia law. Now, folks, again, this is something that it's banned already. And I hear these politicians and I want to be as kind as possible because I just don't know if it's a place of arrogance or it's a place of pretending like they're doing something. But Sharia is banned here in the United States. We know this because we have a U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution rules this land, and Sharia is not compatible with that. So if there was Sharia law being practiced here in the homeland, guess what? It's got to go. Andy Biggs, though, the congressman from Arizona who's now running for governor, in clip 10 actually outlines how he knows that Sharia is, in fact, being implemented here in the United States. Take a listen.
We have Sharia, because Sharia is an expansive term here. So I'm looking, and it says here, that where Sharia is, and this is on page 1 of your statement, the enforcement of foreign child custody judgments, that's coming into America, and we're relying on Sharia interpretations from other places. Is that accurate?
Yes. There's been numerous cases in which child custody judgments from either Islamic countries or even non-Islamic countries that have Sharia courts.
How does that square with Reynolds, for that, where you have a distinction between religious practices and behavior? And here we have Sharia determining actual child custody issues totally irrespective of religious practices. How is that square with Reynolds?
Well, clearly Reynolds would allow the government to regulate child custody, whether or not the child custody rules were favored or disfavored by a religion. However, there is a lack in our law of addressing comity of foreign judgments and the constitutionality of the process by which those foreign courts reach their judgments. There's even a Ninth Circuit case, the Nowko case, where the Ninth Circuit explicitly said that you can't do a constitutional analysis on a foreign judgment. So under current law, it appears as though foreign courts can do things that our courts would never imagine doing, would clearly violate constitutional rights, and those judgments are being brought here, and those judgments are being, on many occasions, enforced.
Yeah, and they would be inconsistent with American jurisprudence, but somehow we're incorporating some foreign jurisprudence into ours. And so now I'll go to you, Mr. Spencer.
All right, so we're keeping our eye, obviously, on Pam Bondi. She just began speaking, but she's doing her little introduction, so it'll be probably a fluffy one. So we'll hold off before we bring you straight there. But Pam Bondi is speaking right now at the hearing. Wendy Mahoney is going to be up next, too. Wendy Mahoney is an incredible independent journalist who covers a lot of really important stories. Specifically, though, she's here today to talk about Fulton County. As many of you guys know, that affidavit, the one that led to the raid at that Fulton County election center. Well, guess what, folks? It was unsealed yesterday. Wendy Mahoney is one of the incredible journalists who's been sifting through all of it. We've got it here. I did do some brief overview of what we saw in this document. I'll bring you my notes as to what we've uncovered from all of this. But Wendy's been doing a deep dive into it, and she understands what exactly was going on in Georgia. And again, they tried their very best to hide this information from coming out to the American people. They've done their very best to try to prevent those ballots from getting in the hands of the Trump administration. This isn't transparency. This isn't what the American people want. You know, if everything in Fulton County, now they're finally admitting that not everything was as safe as they were promising you it was. There was actually several different, five, we have a list of instances that could be quite concerning. Maybe possibly ballots getting scanned multiple times. Maybe ballots were altered. Well, there's more information that we're hearing on this. And it's everything that you've expected it to be. So if you're waiting for like the we were right moment, it's going to happen that next segment when we talk about what's going on in Fulton County. Because Fulton County, there's a lot going on in Fulton County that we need to address. Folks, in the meantime, I want to point you over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. First off, it's Alex's birthday. So if you're going to want to celebrate his birthday with him, support him over at the alexjonesstore.com. But most importantly, we just started this 50% off sale on bundles. Now, it's really important that you head on over right now and do just that. It is quite the impressive deal. We've got two bundles for you right now over at the shop, the Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle, as well as the Modern World Survival Stack. Those right now are 50% off. Now, each bundle includes three of your favorite supplements, possibly if you're looking for the Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle. That is going to include colostrum, methylene blue, and methylene red. And if you're looking for the Modern World Survival Stack, that one's going to include the Shilajit Complex, the sea moss capsules, as well as the atomic defense. Now, as many of you guys know, we are in flu season. So now is the time to grab yourself some atomic defense. Head on over right now to the shop. These are going to be on sale for a limited time, so lock it in. Also, just a little friendly reminder, whenever you subscribe to our supplements as well, you get that incredible 50% off discount. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Subscribe. You're going to get 50% off all supplements when you do just that over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, everything we've talked about to a T is being vindicated right now. So we can obsess over the Epstein files, or is Trump covering up, or isn't he, or you know, what's Todd Blanche doing, any of that.
Men that abuse these girls, like, what does that mean?
But at the end of the day, it's 99% Democrats in there. It's the European elite. They're the ones that basically wrote the book on this crap. It's all coming out, and we the people, the populist Christians of the world, have been vindicated in spades. And that's why we've been attacked so much. So remember, regardless of what happens with different political leaders, different populists, whether it's Orban, or whether it's Le Pen in France, or whether it's Donald Trump here, regardless, we the people of the West, of America, Christendom, will continue to promote freedom and liberty and justice in the American way and expose evil. And at the tip of the spear in that fight is InfoWars.
But regardless of what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesStore.com is owned by Bigley, and they have set up the Alex Jones Network as our backup that is absolutely critical. And they have launched the biggest sale of the year that runs until just next Monday. So I'm saying this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. And I'll air this later again as an ad, so you'll be seeing it later. That means you've only got 6 days to take advantage of this massive sale. Listen to this. We've got multiple bundles on the side of our best-selling products. Limited time till next Monday at midnight. And your support keeps us on the air. This is an amazing value. Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle. Repair the gut, power the brain, the heart, everything. Bundle price, $99. Normal value, $209. Savings over 50% off. Includes bovine colostrum, the top private label. So incredible for your body, your skin, your hair, everything. Methylene blue tincture. We've got the best. Total game changer. You've seen the guests take it live on air. Even methylene blue fans say we've got the best. Methylene red is our proprietary system that doesn't have a bunch of methylene blue in it. It's got all these other supercharged nutrients that supercharge methylene blue, but also do a great job for your stamina, libido, energy outside of that. So if you love methylene blue, the methylene red, it's back in stock. All three of those together in a bundle at over 50% off. Then we have the Modern World Survival Stat. Rebuild, reload, defend. The bundle, $89. Normally $184. Over 50% off. Built to support the body, the toxic nutrient depleted modern world. Energy, stamina, focus, everything. Shilajit Complex, the best Shilajit gummies, capsules. You choose. CMOS capsules, incredible. Very strong concentrated iron CMOS. Natural iodine. 93 trace vitamins and minerals. Incredible supercharger. You want this right now. Incredible for your thyroid, immune health, metabolic balance, your heart. And then Atomic Defense is the horse pill of horse pills of all the known concentrated natural detox super nutrients to detox of heavy metals, environmental toxins, and supercharge your body and gut health. Get it all right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com and be the reason we will always be on the air one way or another. But you love sales. This one is over. I think it comes at like 57% off or something. This is over 50% off. It's running till next Monday. So I'm cutting this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. So what is Monday? Okay. You got like 6 days to take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank all you that have gotten the products and all you that have been VIPs. You get huge discounts if you do that and $40 spent in the store instantly every month. But for everybody else on the fence, you're missing out. You think our info is powerful? Well, this is even more powerful. Get it now.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're on board with us today. A lot happened kind of yesterday a little bit in front of Fulton County. As many of you guys know, Fulton County had their election center raided, and it was ultimately due to the 2020 election, which we all know, which we all truly, we've been following it for a couple of years now, understand that, yeah, our election was actually stolen, and it was stolen because, well, nobody wanted to investigate it. We'll get into the details about that, but we have the unsealed affidavit, which allowed the war, which allowed the raid to take place in Fulton County. And we're learning more and more about it. Now, yesterday on X, I posted kind of my brief overview as I dug into a lot of this, but I'm not an attorney, and so it's important to remember just that. But when you're looking at all of this, it outlines pretty much what we've been discussing for the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, we all knew what was going on in Fulton County. It was shady. We all knew that there was ballots being double scanned that they didn't want to tell you about. They just kept saying, oh, everything was safe and secure in Fulton County. Well, it doesn't appear to be the case. Now Fulton County is admitting a lot of fault in all of this. Joining me to discuss is a woman who's been very focused in Fulton County and wasn't letting up anytime soon on the 2020 election is Wendy Mahoney. She's an independent journalist, has been doing a bunch of deep dives into all of this. You could find her on X, W. Mahoney 5 is where you could find her on Twitter. Wendy, thank you for jumping on. I know this was last minute, so I appreciate you being here, but you've been digging into a lot of this. And the affidavit dropped yesterday. It's officially been unsealed, and it's available for the American people. It's about 22 pages long, so it's not a bad read. What are you finding out in this affidavit?
Well, to be honest, not that much.
Yeah.
We've been reporting on this for, oh, I'd say 4 or 5 years now. And Kevin Moncla and Joe Rossi and Garland Favorito and others have been doing a fantastic job of documenting all the things that went wrong in the Fulton County election, unlawful behavior, potentially, allegedly fraudulent behavior. So this affidavit for the warrant is no surprise to those of us who have been following this closely. However, there are some kind of surprising things in there that, especially with regard to witness number two, talking about the Shaw files. So let me look at my notes here, but so it's important to note that Shaw files, if they're changed or deleted or manipulated in any way, it breaks verification. And it creates audit and evidentiary problems and weakens the chain of custody. It's a very, very significant development. And some of those files were changed well after the election. So that kind of brings to mind, you know, allegedly changed. So it kind of brings to mind, you know, why did that happen? And when you look at the constellation of issues associated with the Fulton County election, and by the way, Fulton County is a blueprint. You know, everybody's going, oh, you know, this happened everywhere. Well, they're absolutely 100% correct. Back in August, I coordinated bringing all this evidence to the DOJ. And it was shortly after that, that things began to really break loose. There were people interviewed, by Ed Martin at the time in the weaponization part of the DOJ, which has now been folded, as you know. Mm. And then there is a contact, in there who, to whom I gave this. I know both this person and Ed Martin. And I gave him all the evidence. And I said at the time, because he wanted to do like 8 investigations. And I said, why would you do that? Why don't you take the data? I'm going to hand it to you on a silver platter. I'm going to give you all the evidence. So we did. We compiled it all and gave it to him. And then people were interviewed. And then, of course, on October 30th, Harmeet Dhillon sued Fulton County because Jan Johnston at the state election board had subpoenaed the Fulton County records in 2024. This has just been a long time coming. But what this affidavit does is it's now the FBI alleging criminal activity, you know, intentional activity. And that's very important to go on the record. My concern, to be honest with you, is that I know there to be many people who do not want to continue to investigate the election, and they do not want to see this kind of stuff come out. And as you know, I think there are about 46 ballot boxes missing from the seizure. So I want to question what is that about? What are in those boxes? It is really unbelievable the shenanigans that have been going on with regard to this election. They are doing everything in their power to hide things. And like I said, Georgia is an absolute blueprint. There's nothing under the sun that didn't happen in Georgia that didn't happen elsewhere. Arizona, you name it. I mean, I've spoken with Patrick Kolbeck at length. I know about stuff that went on in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, where Patrick is. He's given everything to the DOJ. I mean, we have literally handed them on a silver platter. And of course, you know, while I didn't do the actual investigations, I've been giving these people a voice literally for years, writing factual articles on it. I am not one to sit down and talk about people, you know, with my opinion about what they're doing at all, and not with regard to this stuff. And it's very important that people understand that the media and election officials in the state, including Charlene McGowan and Kemp and Raffensperger and Gabriel Sterling, really have not been that cooperative with getting this evidence out. And it just begs the question, why is that? And this is not a partisan issue. Every voter suffers because of this. I just don't understand. And I don't understand why I have my readers contacting me in DM saying, oh, you know, on this radio show today in Atlanta, they are saying that there's no proof of any fraud or unlawful behavior in Fulton County. This is the radio station saying this today after this affidavit is released. I don't know what people need in the media. It's got to be purposeful. Yeah. They're lying. Sorry to say it. They have to be.
Yeah, Wendy, I want to go through, because they are lying, and I don't actually think that they read any of this. I think they're probably running cover for the local officials in Fulton County, and that's probably why they're saying that. But I mean, Fulton County admitted that it lacked, that it scanned images of all 528,777 ballots during its initial counts. But the tally itself doesn't match. And that's the problem here, is it does, it didn't match the tally. And so we're talking like double scanned ballots, for an example. I know that's mentioned too. And there's these ballots that have since been changed. Now, the FBI director, Kash Patel, while you were speaking, actually, when they put out a tweet in regards to that, echoing that there is an ongoing investigation regarding the, I guess, the difference in the vote count, that seems to be a big part in all of this. But ultimately, I mean, this is super, super concerning. And I don't understand why you'd have these people locally who are saying that it's not taking place. And you're mentioning those who don't want this investigated. I want to bring up the name of Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, who claims to be a Republican, but he was actively looking to shut down any investigation, according to reports that were taking place behind the scenes in all of this. What do you know specifically about the active push to shut down these investigations into alleged election fraud?
I mean, it's on and on and on. I mean, for example, if you look at what True the Vote was doing at the time, True the Vote, and this was public, I wrote about it. True the Vote gave all the information they had on the Georgia election to the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigations, and they were cooperating with them for a while, and then everything shut down. And then you have people like, so that article that I wrote on Fulton County New, when Joe Rossi stood up and spoke in the state election board meeting on January 21st, he said that, you know, this email that came out quite a while ago, but it's resurfaced again. It was in Kevin's 263-page report on Fulton County. And by the way, it's not just Fulton County. It's many counties in Georgia. I mean, almost all of them. But Joe Rossi said that there was an email between this Mike Pendergast, who worked for the elections group, and Nadine Williams and Rick Barron, who were on the Fulton County board. They were the director and deputy director at the time. And Pendergast said, oh, are you aware that there are double counted ballots in this? And, you know, I just want you to note that. Well, that was on November 19th of 2020. And then on December 19th, you know, of course, Raffensperger came out and, you know, talked about the risk limiting audits and all this other stuff. But by then, I suspect he knew that there were double counted ballots. And of course, they completely tried to bury it and say that it wasn't true, just like they do everything else. But that particular letter was important because it basically says that people at Fulton County knew there were issues. And so what we don't have right now, to my knowledge, is a paper trail about what did Nadine Williams say to people? Did she say anything to anyone else on the Fulton County? Did it just go to Rick Barron and her? Were they concerned about it? You know, did they bury it also? I mean, it's problematic again and again. And then you have these people like, you know, Happy Faces associated with Stacey Abrams. You have, the election groups, which is Mike Pendergast, which is a CTCL funded organization running the elections. I mean, basically that's illegal. They're not supposed to be running Georgia's elections. So it's almost like they contracted out this election. And why is that? And it allowed them to hide and suppress a lot of things. I mean, I just don't understand why this has had so much trouble getting traction, but I will tell you that it's been an incredible, amount of information warfare. And that's not me putting my tinfoil hat on. I'm telling you, no matter what we've done, to give them data and information and hardcore documents. I mean, if you look at that 263-page report, Brianna, it's got exhibits. It's completely transparent. There's no redactions. There's no, you know, oh, the public can't see these documents. It's all there. You just have to go through it and read it and look at the evidence. And that's the evidence that we gave to the DOJ in August.
Yeah. Well, I actually want to ask about that too, because you mentioned Ed Martin. And obviously Ed Martin's under fire right now. They did, you know, completely nuke the weaponization group that was something he was handling. And then I know Todd Blanche wants to pretend like everything's all friendly with Ed these days. I know from several sources that's not the case. But he's made several. And I see people tagging me in and they're like, Brianna, your reporting's false. I said, no, we've got people out here who are trying to dispute it by pretending like it's false. But I know 1,000% I'm accurate. I know that Todd Blanche is trying to uppercut Ed Martin. He tried his very best. I guess he got a little afraid when he saw Ed Martin the following day making his way into the White House. So he's probably like, please don't tell on me. But, you know, what are you hearing in regards to Ed Martin? Because you brought this to Ed Martin's table. I know that Ed Martin is someone who is all about going after this. What did you hear when you spoke to him? I mean, is there a glimpse of hope that this is still being handled appropriately? What's the status there?
So I do know Ed. I did not speak with him about this because I didn't want to put him in an awkward position.
Yeah.
I know him pretty well, but I did speak with the guy who's working with him, and I can talk a little bit more about that in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But what I think has happened is that Trump is surrounded by gatekeepers, and this is just my opinion, given what people have told me. And kind of what I'm gleaning from it. And some people have told me that directly, by the way. But the two guys who are working in the weaponization, two pretty high level guys, Ed Martin and this other person, they could not get the FBI to cooperate. They could not get staff. They weren't given the resources to be able to properly investigate the election. And I don't even really know, although Trump is in touch a lot with our group, Kevin Monklin in specific and Kurt Olson. And Kurt Olson has done some things. I mean, that raid was because, as the affidavit says, mm-hmm. I knew that a raid was coming. I didn't know when it was would be. But Kurt was called directly by the president to do that. And I think the president, in not having talked to him directly, but knowing kind of his temperament and character, he probably just got sick of it. And he just said, I don't know what's going on in Georgia, but you need to get to the bottom of it. And that's when the raid happened. And so between these gatekeepers, between Trump, you know, but Todd Blanche is a layer of gatekeeping between that weaponization group and the president. And I think President Trump has a lot on his plate and he can't put out every fire. And then what I know about Ed, and, you know, I've had actually pretty lengthy discussions with people in groups that I'm in, signal groups, and they just got all over my case about why didn't Ed stand up for himself and why is he, you know, doing these kinds of posts on social media, standing with Todd Blanche? And my guess is that Ed Martin is mission focused and he knows we're running out of time. It goes fast and he wants to support the president and he doesn't want to be at the center of the controversy and cause he wants to be able to further whatever he can while he's there. And if he were to come out and make statements and be negative and throw Todd under the bus. And again, this is just my opinion and my guess, knowing his character. He's trying to further Trump's mission in the best way that he can, given the limitations that he's been put under. That's my guess. Yeah. Ed is a gentleman and he's a wonderful man and he has utmost integrity. And I can tell you that these investigations, the J6, which I know a lot about and so do you, and the election investigations have been very, very, people in the administration have not wanted to further those investigations. And there's still many, many people in the administration, I'm sorry to say, who don't believe that the 2020 election was stolen, and their personal animus toward President Trump causes them to behave very poorly, in my opinion.
Yeah, Wendy, I'm seeing the same things as you're seeing, and we're talking to all different people from across all of this. And so it's got me really concerned. Even at the DOJ level, there's I keep getting all these people who are saying that they're resigning and they're just done. They're bowing out. I just got another resignation email that was forwarded to me yesterday or last week. So there's a lot happening there, and it's really unfortunate. But folks at home, if you want to keep following all of this related to Fulton County and other topics that Wendy's covering, you got to head on over to X, give her a follow. WMAHONEY5. That's where you could find my girl, Wendy Mahoney, on X. Wendy, thank you. I know this is last minute, so we appreciate you jumping on with us. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, my friend. All right, folks, I want to jump back over to the testimony that's being given right now in Congress by Pam Bondi. It looks like the Epstein victims have stood up. They are holding their hands up. Pam Bondi did address that when she started speaking, that she knew that they were present. Appears that they're all dressed in white right now. Let's listen in, because it seems like there's a little bit of a back and forth.
The email reads, quote, "Where are you? Are you okay? I loved the torture video." Only after members of Congress demanded that we see the unredacted files did the world learn the name of this individual, Sultan Ahmed bin Sulayem, the chairman and CEO of a company that had financial ties to President Trump's business and personal ties to Trump's advisor, Steve Bannon. Second, the survivors were not similarly protected, also in violation of the law. Here is another email titled Epstein Victim List. We have blurred the names of the survivors for their protection, but your Department of Justice initially released this list of 32 survivors' names with only one name redacted, along with numerous files that disclose not only the names, the emails, and the addresses of survivors, but also nude photographs and even the identities of Jane Doe's, who had been protected for decades until your department released their names. Survivors are now telling us that their families are finding out for the first time that they were trafficked by Epstein. In their words, quote, "This release does not provide closure. It feels like a deliberate attempt to intimidate survivors, punish those who came forward, and reinforce the same culture of secrecy that allowed Epstein's crimes to continue for decades." To the survivors in the room, if you are willing, please stand. And if you are willing, please raise your hands if you have still not been able to meet with this Department of Justice. Please know for the record that every single survivor has raised their hand. Attorney General Bondi, you apologize to the survivors in your opening statement for what they went through at the hands of Jeffrey Epstein. Will you turn to them now and apologize for what your Department of Justice has put them through with the absolutely unacceptable release of the Epstein files and their information?
Congresswoman, you sat before Merrick Garland sat in this chair twice.
Attorney General Bondi,
no, can I finish my answer?
No, I'm going to reclaim my time because I asked you a specific question that I would like you to answer, which is, will you turn to the survivors? This is not about anybody that came before you. It is about you taking responsibility for your Department of Justice and the harm that it has done to the survivors who are standing right behind you and are waiting for you to turn to them and apologize for what your Department of Justice has
done. Members get to ask the questions, the witness gets to answer in the way they want to answer.
Attorney General can
that's
respond.
Not accurate, Mr. Chairman.
Because she doesn't like the answer. Time. So,
Mr. Chairman,
why
I have asked
didn't she
question?
Ask Merrick Garland this?
I am reclaiming my time,
my
and when I
will
reclaim my time, it
I'm
is Mr. Chairman, the gentlelady
is
reclaimed
her
time. I'm
not going to get in the gutter for her theatrics.
The time belongs to the time belongs to the gentlelady. The gentlelady has 17 seconds.
Thank you. You're not going to answer this question, so let me just
Chairman,
say this.
I'll direct it to
what
you.
What a massive cover-up.
No, I'm answering a question.
Mr. Chairman, will you restore
Chairman?
Her time? The witness
I'm
is interrupting.
I'm not going to get in the gutter with this woman.
Stop the
She's
time
doing theatrics.
And let me have my
the gentlelady,
time.
The gentlelady from Washington controls the time. The gentlelady has 17 seconds. You can proceed with your final
Thank you.
17 seconds.
What a massive cover-up this has been and continues to be. Donald Trump made the release of the Epstein files the center of his political campaign because he thought it would benefit him. Then you got into office, Attorney General, claimed to have a client list,
Regular
only to
order.
Then say that there was no list. Your deputy,
time,
Todd Blanche,
the,
met alone with Ghislaine Maxwell
the
and transferred
has
her to a minimum security prison. And now you continue
time,
the cover-up, and I
has
wish
expired.
That you would turn around to the survivors who are standing right behind you and on a human level
Chairman,
apologize
now recognizes the chair
what you have done.
Time of the
I yield back.
All
right, obviously. Bonnie does have a point there, though. It is political theatrics, of course, and you want justice for all of these women, and my heart breaks for all of them, because again, I mean, they've been ignored for years, and if they did try to file a claim, it was dismissed, dusted off, tossed away, and to hear, too, potentially that a lot of these victims didn't even tell their loved ones that they were Epstein victims, and this is how some of them found out is absolutely devastating, but this is all political theatrics, given the fact that, again, like she said, I mean, it's fair to say, I mean, Garland did sit in that same chair and was never asked these questions. So before they go after Pam Bondi, I get it. It was a commitment laid out by the campaign. But Democrats are only jumping on board because there's some political advantage for this. Folks, we'll bring you back to this in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Let me remind you, every time you subscribe for our supplements, you get 50% off. That's an incredible discount. 50% off. These are high quality products, high quality supplements that you're not going to find anywhere else. I can promise you there's a massive difference between the products we sell here over at thealexjonesstore.com and what you get online. These are top tier products. Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. And when you bundle, you're also getting 50% off as well. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com today. Get these items. I'm telling you folks, 50% off is an incredible savings when you subscribe.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it. Just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles. Because you understand the broader course of history. How these things tend to operate. How assassinations tend to occur. How cover-ups tend to happen. How false flags occur. How staged events occur. How also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing. And you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
today are getting ready to kick off the third hour of the show. Let's go back to Pam Bondi, who's speaking right now in front of the Judiciary House Committee right now. A lot happening there. Let's listen in.
Over here. The time is yours.
Thank you. First, he brought up the president saying they indicted me twice. They sure did. They tried to impeach him twice. And you, Mr. Nadler, were one of the leads on the impeachment. I was on the other side. I lived that with you. During impeachment, you said the president conspired, sought foreign interference in the 2016 election. Robert Mueller found no evidence, none, of foreign interference in 2016. Have you apologized to President Trump? Have you apologized to President Trump, all of you who participated in those impeachment hearings against Donald Trump? You all should be apologizing. You sit here and you attack the president, and I am not going to have it. I'm not going to put up with it. You know, all they want to do, all the American people need to know this. They are talking about Epstein today. This has been around since the Obama administration. This administration released over 3 million pages of documents, over 3 million, and Donald Trump signed that law to release all of those documents. He is the most transparent president in the nation's history. And none of them asked Merrick Garland over the last 4 years one word about Jeffrey Epstein. How ironic is that? You know why? Because Donald Trump, the Dow right now is over, the Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing. You're a great stock trader, as I hear, Raskin. The Dow is over 50,000 right now. The S&P at almost 7,000. And the NASDAQ smashing records. Americans' 401ks and retirement savings are booming. That's what we should be talking about. We should be talking about making Americans safe. We should be talking about, what does a Dow have to do with anything? That's what they just asked. Are you kidding?
Mr. Jordan,
committee will be in order.
Mr. Jordan, am I going to get an extra 45 seconds added to my time?
The committee will be in order. The time belongs to the gentleman from Texas. Ms. Bondi, the Attorney General can respond.
Thank you. The Dow has shattered 50,000 for the first time. This is crazy. They said it couldn't be done in 4 years, yet President Trump has done it in 1 year. National median rents have fallen to a four-year low thanks to Donald Trump. That's why they want to focus on Epstein and our most transparent president in the nation's history. The murder rate, as I said, has plummeted to a 125-year low thanks to Donald Trump. For an unprecedented 9 straight months, there were 0 illegal border crossings at the southern border. That's what we should be focused on. All the great work that this president has done and will continue to do to keep America safe and to make Americans safe.
Thank you, Attorney General Bondi.
All
I agree
right,
with
so that
you
was
totally.
Pam Bondi,
I think you've done a fine job.
You'd follow it, obviously. There's a lot more that's going to be happening throughout all of this. Joseph McBride, he's a trial attorney and a strategist. He will be joining us to discuss all of this and react to all things related to Pam Bondi. So we look forward to having him on in just a little bit. He'll be joining us in about 25 minutes. We'll be going through more of this hearing, obviously, continuing to cover it, because I'm sure there's going to be more of a pushback between both Democrats and Bondi. And I'm hoping some conservatives jump in on this one, because I got a lot of questions for the AG, and unfortunately, she only does hits on Fox News and won't talk to anyone else. So now is her time to get some tough questions thrown her way. And I'm not even mad about the Epstein questions that Dems are throwing her way, because I think it's fair to require her to answer just that. All right, guys, buckle up. We got more to discuss in just 1 minute. We'll be right back.
and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, third hour of the program. A lot going on over here that we're keeping our eye on. You know, we've been diving in and out of the Pambani hearing that's going on right now in the Judiciary Committee. That's the House. Right now, specifically, Bonnie's being grilled by Dems about Epstein. We'll bring you back to that in just a little bit. Also joining us in this hour, Joseph McBride, who is a trial attorney and also a political strategist. He'll be joining us to react to Bonnie plus other things that are taking place all around the country, specifically to a federal grand jury's refusal to indict six Democratic lawmakers who appeared in that video. Remember that video where they were trying to tell U.S. military personnel and intelligence community, the intelligence community, to not abide by certain rules, to defy what they deemed as illegal orders? Well, a grand jury in D.C. has refused to indict a lot of these individuals, obviously Mark Kelly being one of those individuals as well. So we're learning more about that as it continues to develop. I have a feeling that the DOJ is not going to let up on that one, because that was one that got them really, really fired up. And so we'll keep our eye on that. We're also keeping our eye on something that I think is big news. And I love Florida, like love Florida. The one major issue I had with the state of Florida was that there were so many New Yorkers coming in. I had actually left. I got there first. I was one of the OG New Yorkers who abandoned New York and went to Florida. And then once it became like another borough of New York City, I was like, I gotta get out of here. But it's getting really, really bad. How bad do you think it's getting? Well, let me explain. Mark Zuckerberg is leaving California, according to reports, and he is moving on in to Florida right now. According to reports, him and his wife have ditched their California lifestyles, and they are trying their very best now to be Florida residents. They bought a home. I don't know. There's some reports that it's like $100 million to $200 million. This home that they purchased in Miami must be nice. You lose me after a couple of zeros. But they are apparently now looking to ditch it to live there full time. Now, here's the thing. The reason why, apparently there's a new pitch for billionaires in California to receive a new tax. And I think it's just a lot of people are just fed up with it. I mean, how many times do you have to tax these people? They employ a bunch of employees, and now they got to sit here and pay a bunch of taxes. And then now there's a new tax for the other taxes. It's about a 5% one-time tax they're looking and they're pitching in California to, I guess, force billionaires to pay. I mean, again, it's never enough for them. They just continue to pull money from those who are wealthy. And, I, you know, I don't want to be in this position to defend Mark Zuckerberg because I think he's actually a horrible person. But at some point, we got to say enough is enough. And the taxes are just out of control. But most importantly, folks, it's resulting in people like Mark Zuckerberg fleeing and coming here. And I don't like it. Well, coming to Florida, I guess you should say. And I don't like it at all. We should be able to force these people not to relocate. Florida should just be its own country at this point. We should be asking people for their voter ID cards when they flood into Florida. Specifically, though, only take registered Republicans, conservatives, and independents. Everything else, sorry, you gotta go. Florida is like a safe, beautiful place. The cost of living has skyrocketed, which is really upsetting, but it is still one of my favorite places in this country. And it's sad that all these people are infiltrating. Again, I'm not looking forward to that. Let's go back to the House Judiciary Committee right now with Pam Bondi. It looks like there might be a little bit of a pushback. Jim Jordan just stepped in. Let's take a listen.
Department. state and local police in Minnesota got a court order to get access to the crime scene to be sure evidence would be properly preserved by federal agents. But they took the agents defied the court order, and in a departure from general policy, DOJ is not collaborating with state and local law enforcement on these homicides. So I really think that is a disgraceful approach to the homicides of American citizens, and really does nothing to bring credit to your department. And, Mr. Chairman, I would yield back.
Gentlelady yields back.
May I answer?
Attorney General can respond.
I find it interesting that she keeps going after President Trump, the greatest president in American history. And if they could maintain their composure, this isn't a circus. This is a hearing. I find it interesting she keeps going after Donald Trump. She doesn't say how much money she took from Reid Hoffman, did you?
None.
And nor
well,
did
Mr.
She
Chairman,
post
regular
anything.
Order, please.
She
regular
posted
order.
Nothing on her X account,
gentlelady,
on her Twitter account during the Biden years.
Gentlelady.
And yet now, all of a sudden,
no question
she's going
asked.
After
will be in
point
order.
Of order. There was no
committee
question
will be
on the Attorney General. She doesn't just get to
middle. Committee will be in order.
I have a point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Committee will be in order.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Gentlelady can state her point of order.
When a witness attacks.
Not a valid point of order. You got to state.
She hasn't completed her point of order yet. Please let her speak, Mr. Chairman. Let's have some regular order here.
Regular order is you got to state the rule. And
I am trying. I am trying to make a point of order that the witness.
And what rule are you referring to?
Without responding to a question has attacked me personally. I think it's pathetic that she can't answer the questions and instead is attacking members of the committee.
That is not even close to a point of order. The gentleman from Wisconsin is recognized.
In August of last year, I sent a letter to the Department of Justice asking for assistance and seeking compensation for the town of Lac du Flambeau. Town of Lac du Flambeau is in my district, and your office replied that it was an ongoing matter and unable to comment on it, which I understand. That's just fine. But I want to set this up just as a reminder. So 3 years ago, it was at this time of year that four roads were blockaded in the town of Lac du Flambeau, and the temperature was 25 below zero. People had to park their cars at a neighbor's place, take the snowmobile across the lake to get their car, and then be able to drive into town. There were people 80 and 90 years old that could not, were very concerned that they'd be able to get emergency medical services. And the perpetrators of this, the tribe out there, they demanded compensation from the town. I would call it extortion. They ultimately got $600,000 from the town of Lac du Flambeau. The unfortunate part, Mr. Chairman, is that the Biden administration took the side of the perpetrators who closed those roads off, and the Biden administration made it clear to the town of Lac du Flambeau that we are not on your side in regards to this. Well, fortunately, there was a federal judge that said, no, this is wrong, what happened. And these roads should be left open. They should continue to be left open. My question to you is, are you willing to work with my office and with the town of Lac du Flambeau to further investigate this matter and seek compensation from the tribal government after their extortion of $600,000 from this little town in northern Wisconsin?
Congressman, you do a great job representing your district. And yes, we would more than welcome working with you, and we are familiar with that investigation.
Mr. Chairman, I would just add, we're highlighting these miscarriages of justice in the previous administration. This is just another one of those small examples, no different than the Catholic Diocese in Richmond and many others that you have retold so many times. But here's another instance of what they did to a small town and nearly bankrupted them as a result of it. Fortunately, there was a federal judge that saw through it and has fixed it. I want to move on to fraud enforcement. You've established a National Fraud Enforcement Division. Is that correct, Madam Attorney General?
Yes, Congressman.
Has this new division begun any investigations and getting after those individuals that have committed the rampant fraud we've seen like in Minnesota?
Well, it's not only rampant in Minnesota, it's rampant throughout this country. Much of it is in California, as you know, and other places. Yes, we are working on it actively. Our criminal fraud division has been working on it. We are expanding that. It was the vice president's idea to come up with this amazing separate.
I want to step in on this for a second because this is stuff that we're all very familiar with so far. Again, we're going to be dipping in and out of this. Joseph McBride joining me in about 15 minutes to break down what we've seen so far at this hearing. But again, folks, I kind of knew this was going to be a little heated. Pam Bondi doing a fair job of defending herself and also defending the president. So that is also good to see as well. Folks, I want to dive into a story that kind of piggybacks off the Zuckerberg story that we were talking about just a few moments ago. Meta, obviously, that's the company that he runs still to this day. There's a lot of issues with Meta itself, mainly on how sexual predators, child predators have utilized Meta as a platform to make it their own grooming paradise at this point is the best way to describe it. And the worst part about this, and this is why it's so important for parents to pay attention to what their kids are doing online. I was just reading another Discord story, sadly, about a young girl, and this is a little separate, but a young girl who was found dead, and it was the results of her meeting a man in a Discord chat. Again, like, these things are absolutely horrific, but the importance of parents at home right now to pay attention to what your child is doing online, it needs to be a top priority in every household. And as we learn more, so there's a lawsuit going on right now between Meta and the state, the Attorney General of New Mexico right now. And ultimately, it came to the forefront that a senior Meta researcher did, in fact, warn the company executives back in June of 2020 that this is based on an internal email that approximately 500,000 children per day in English-speaking markets alone were being targeted with sexually inappropriate messages by predators, creeps on Instagram and Facebook. This was described in that email. And they were trying their very best to warn, obviously, top executives that this was a major, major issue. These details come from internal documents unsealed just before, obviously, a major jury trial, like I explained to you, in New Mexico. Meta is what it's being accused of, failing to protect children from sexual exploitation, sextortion, human trafficking, and mental health harms as well. Now, again, the details just that and how they were warned. They're claiming, of course, that they didn't do enough. I don't know how you police such a massive, massive platform. I get it. I understand maybe putting in tips if children interact, and this should be 100% the case. If children flag something for you as a predator is coming after them, this should go to a special department that investigates these things and quickly nukes all those accounts. That I totally am on board for. But it's really tough, I have to say, from their perspective, to kind of police their platform. I mean, if you're talking about 500,000 kids each day are being targeted right now from creeps, predators online on both platforms, Facebook and Instagram, I don't know how you combat that. I truly don't. Again, we don't want to push towards a mass surveillance, but I mean, we have Alex Rosen on the show all the time who talks about this on all of these platforms. I don't know what other advice I'd have for these platforms. I don't think children belong on these platforms. And so, yeah, I think it's absolutely devastating. I don't know how you combat it without having to do something invasive to your own personal privacy, whether it's the biometrics grab, but we also see that Discord is now going to lean in on. But I don't encourage it, obviously. I strongly am against that, but it's just really disturbing. It really is. 500,000 kids per day are being targeted on just Instagram and Facebook alone. That's according to their own employee. Let's shift gears a little bit too. This one's, it's so sad, but renters, and I've never seen this before, and this is the first time I've ever seen this, but you all, you know, when you're buying stuff online, they float the idea of maybe you want to buy this now and pay for it later. Well, obviously what this is doing is normalizing Americans to rack up a ton of debt. We know President Trump is floating the idea of reducing the amount of interest that Americans can pay in credit card debt. I believe he's floating the idea of 10% for the first year, which sounds fair. You know, these card companies do need to make money. Obviously, we don't want to sit here and inject too much. But the reality is, I mean, they're talking like a lot of these cards are pushing north of like 20 to 30% interest rates. It's insane. But this story has me very concerned. Renters are increasingly turning to rent now and pay later services. There's several of them. Affirm is one of them. Flex is another one that I've heard of. Now, they're doing this to split their monthly rent into smaller installments, allowing companies to pay these landlords up front while tenants repay over time, which helps them manage their cash flow. Gosh, it sounds horrible. I meant the rising cost of rent. Now, the article itself is floating the idea of there could be up to 28% interest paid out in 5 years. Again, the services charge fees. Like Flex will pay, will charge about, I think it's like $33. Now, the problem with this is if you actually miss a payment, you're totally screwed. The interest rate skyrockets. Obviously, for someone who's maybe short-term going through some financial issues, okay, I understand it, but this cannot be the new norm. So you're making installments on your rent. Folks, if we normalize this, we're in trouble as a country. We're already in trouble as a country. I mean, home ownership is a dream. It used to be the American dream, but at this point, just a dream for so many Americans. Between that, the student loan debt that we've racked up as a country by allowing our federal government to get involved in the student loan crisis, which shows or has no accountability for the schools and universities, of course, they're off the hook. They get you to take, and I was so enraged, right, as somebody who was studying journalism, obviously, in school, when they had us taking, like, stupid classes. I had to take a softball class. When there's no reason for it, right, it doesn't add anything to your major, but they make you take it, all these BS courses, say, oh, you need this many credits to graduate. Why do we allow this? Why do we allow this? And again, I didn't even need a journalism degree to do what I'm doing, which is another issue, right? They sit there and they push you. I mean, I remember in high school, they jump you and they throw a voter registration form in your face. But most importantly, they push you. What college are you going to? What college are you going to? Not every American needs to go to college. I didn't need to. And unfortunately, I found out the hard way that I didn't need to. And it's crazy because, you know, now that I actually have my own company and I employ people, I always say, you know, if you don't have an educational background in this, you are actually at the top of the stack when it comes to resumes. Because I don't want somebody who went to like an NYU. The degree itself is worth nothing to me because it just means that you've been indoctrinated. That's all these journalism schools do these days. And again, I know I've told you guys stories about me getting into fights and to what I was forced, again, another one to take over at SUNY Old Westbury, a New York college. I was forced to take a women's history class. Now, as many of you know, I joke, but, you know, I found out the hard way that I was conservative. I really didn't know politically where I was standing on a lot of issues until I got into my first argument in women's history. And I don't even know how it came up. We were talking in class about reality TV and all these women were like, yeah, I love Love and Hip Hop. I love all these like brain rot shows. And I was just, you know, I raised my hand and I said something that was very controversial. I think I maybe got a C in that class. It wasn't one of my best class. Why? Well, because I said something like this, which really got our feminist professor fired up. I just like was like women who watch reality TV every day. I'm sorry. There's an element of your own life that you're not happy with, that you're looking for fulfillment with in someone else's life. And that's why you turn to reality TV, which isn't actual reality. And man, oh man, were those fire-breathing lesbians coming after me. They were screaming at me in that class. Screaming. And I didn't understand at the time. Now I do. Now I do. Because since then, you know, I would debate people then on BLM. That was obviously, yeah, this was all of them. A lot of the people in that class, too, were on the women's basketball team. So just imagine a bunch of butch lesbians coming after me for saying the logical response here. Like, we shouldn't be watching this much of reality TV. And you shouldn't be consuming it thinking that this is real life. This is why so many women end up divorced, filing for divorce, because you think your man's going to wake up every day and tell you how beautiful you are every second of the day. You just live in this fake society, in this fake world, and you think that this is the reality. This is what's going to happen for me. That's why so many women are upset with how life's turned out for them, mainly because of the fact that they've lived in this delusional world. They watch reality TV. So that's the reason why I'm in college today. I don't know how to say it. I mean, the reality of it is college is a cesspool. I actually at one point was protesting by not paying my student loans because I was like, why did they force me to do this? I didn't need this. But the American taxpayer shouldn't have to pay for it either. You know who should pay for it? That fire-breathing lesbian who was teaching my women's history class. She should have to cough up the expense of that ridiculous, ridiculous class I had to take over at SUNY Old Westbury. It was a dumpster of a college too. I mean, it was just bad. They didn't teach me anything that I use nowadays. I actually learned more in community college, which I know surprised a lot of you that I went to community college, my parents, because they refused to pay. Forced me to community college. I joke. I say that lightly. My dad's probably watching right now. But the reality of it is the education system is an absolute cesspool. Those young people in their 20s and their 30s who can't afford homes, it's because they're making a massive payout on their student loan debt all the time. They are making all these massive payouts. A lot of them has shifted over to credit cards. You know, a lot of kids in college too. Here's another thing too for you. They were told, oh, you know, because they were getting all these federal loans, that they could just take out an insane amount of money that wasn't even going towards their actual tuition costs. They were told, oh, this will go to your living costs. And they were cutting these massive checks. That's why the line outside of the student loan office, the federal agencies, I mean, they were just giving all this cash away to these kids. Now, I was not so privileged. I actually had to apply for scholarships. I had to become an RA too. This is probably something that should hold off for a therapist. But I was an RA in college as well to pay off my expenses. It was my freshman year in college. It didn't go very well for me because everyone wanted to go after me because they didn't like the fact that I was an RA, especially freshman year. But nobody wanted the job, right? Because you're literally a buzzkill. So the moral of this story is just don't go to college. If you wanted to go to journal, if you wanted to do journalism, just go out there and do it. Pick up a camera, buy a mic on Amazon, and save yourself like 55, 60 grand in student loan debt. That's my best advice that I have for you guys. All right, let's turn to another story. This is a bit of a happier story. On clip 13, you're going to hear how the Louisville police were assisted in a three-year-old that apparently went missing. Now, the assistant in all of this is an individual. It's a four-legged individual who I could actually get behind. Listen to this story. It's a good one.
Who is there?
It comes via police body cam footage from Louisville last month. A missing three-year-old child. More than a half dozen officers on the search. They sent up a helicopter, but had no luck until this happened.
Oh, what's up, dude?
There's a dog.
Where's he at? Let's go.
That's Officer Josh Thompson responding to a dog that seemed to have something important to say.
It led me all the way back to the backyard. At that point, I'm thinking, okay, this kid's in this backyard.
And sure enough,
the dog went right to the back bumper.
Check the rear here.
Goes to the back bumper. I just sat there.
Yeah, he's right here.
After a quick lesson in car locks.
Grab and pull it.
There we go!
I don't think I've ever seen a happier kid in my life. He jumped out of the car, bear hugged my neck, and wouldn't let go.
Good job, buddy.
The dog had cracked the case.
Blessing found him.
Man, I don't know where the dog came from, but it was a blessing from God that day.
And here's the thing about that dog. Officer Thompson says he'd been patrolling that neighborhood for 2 years and had never seen the dog before that moment, and he hasn't seen the dog since that day. And to this very day, the department still does not know who the dog belongs to.
Ah, that will pull up my heartstrings, man. What an incredible gift dogs are to us. I mean, we don't deserve them. But the simple fact that they're just so smart. They know, hey, you're looking for a missing kid? I found the kid. Come here. I wish we knew who that dog was. He deserves all the belly rubs in the world. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Why? Well, because, folks, we're doing this new sale. When you bundle certain supplements right now over at the shop, you get 50% off. I'm talking about the Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle right now. And we're also talking about the Modern World Survival Stack. These come with three incredible supplements in each of these bundles, and you get them at a discounted rate when you buy them right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there right now. 50% off when you bundle.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene blue to. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more Methylene Blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
It's throughout. I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, theoxygenshore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it if you're on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got in my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'll be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all here today. Oh, we're getting ready to, keep watching what's going on right now over in the House Judiciary Committee hearing going on right now. Pam Bondi's been getting kind of into a screaming match with a couple of individuals. She also may have called Jerry Nadler washed up, which I could definitely appreciate. But we want to get to some of the more defining moments. In clip 17, obviously, folks, she's asked a lot by Dems about specifically Jeffrey Epstein. And here's how it went when it just recently happened.
To the survivors in the room, if you are willing, please stand. And if you are willing, please raise your hands if you have still not been able to meet with this Department of Justice. Please know for the record that every single survivor has raised their hand. Attorney General Bondi, you apologized to the survivors in your opening statement for what they went through at the hands of Jeffrey Epstein. Will you turn to them now and apologize for what your Department of Justice has put them through with the absolutely unacceptable release of the Epstein files and their information.
Congresswoman, you sat before Merrick Garland sat in this chair twice.
Attorney General twice. Bondi.
No, okay, can I finish my answer?
No, I'm going to reclaim my time because I asked you
a specific question that I would like you to answer,
which is, will you turn to the survivors? This is not about anybody that came before you. It is about you taking responsibility for your Department of Justice and the harm that it has done to the survivors who are standing right behind you and are waiting for you to turn to them and apologize for what your Department of Justice has
done. Members get to ask the questions. The witness get to answer in the way they want to answer the Attorney General can
That's
respond.
Not accurate, Mr. Chairman.
Because she doesn't like the answer.
Time. So, Mr. Chairman,
why
I have asked
didn't she ask Merrick Garland this twice?
I'm reclaiming my time, and when I will reclaim my time, it
I'm
is
Mr. Chairman, the gentlelady has reclaimed
her time.
I'm not going
to get in the gutter for her theatrics.
The time belongs to the gentlelady. The gentlelady has 17 seconds.
Thank you. You're not going to answer this question, so let me just
Chairman,
say this.
I'll direct it to
what
you.
What a massive cover-up.
No, I'm answering a question.
Chairman, will you restore
Chairman?
Her time? The
I'm
witness is interrupting.
I'm not going to get in the gutter with this woman.
Stop the
She's
time
doing theatrics.
And let me have my
gentlelady,
time.
The gentlelady from Washington controls the time. The gentlelady has 17 seconds. You can proceed with your final
you.
17 seconds.
What a massive cover-up this has been and continues to be. Donald Trump made the release of the Epstein files the center of his political campaign because he thought it would benefit him. Then you got into office, Attorney General, claimed to have a client list, only
Regular
to
order.
Then say that there was no list. Your deputy,
time,
Todd Blanche, met alone with Elaine Maxwell and transferred her to a minimum security prison. And now you continue
the
cover-up, and I
has
wish
expired.
That you would turn around to the survivors who are standing right behind you and on a human level
Chairman,
apologize
Chairman now recognizes
to
the chairman.
On what you have done.
The time of the gentlelady has expired.
All right, obviously things are getting very heated, so joining us to discuss is Joseph McBride. He's a trial attorney, strategist as well, and we're going to break down what's gone on so far over at this House Judiciary Committee. Obviously, Joseph, it's a pleasure to have you in the program, as always, but it's getting a little heated. It's because Democrats continue to bring up Epstein, and I don't like the fact that it's politically motivated. I truly want justice for these victims without the politics and all of this, but they do make several fair points. I mean, obviously, this has been an absolute mess for the DOJ in regards to the release of these documents. What have you seen so far at the hearing? What are some of the good that you've seen so far at the hearing and some of the bad? Give us your breakdown.
It's all bad. It's worthless. First off, these congressional hearings, the gentle lady takes her time back. I reclaim my time. It's a series of grandstanding. These Congress people get up there and they're looking for a gotcha question. You know, lawyers often ask yes or no questions on cross-examination to try to pin a witness down to make them look bad, to impeach them for their prior inconsistent statements. One person is trying to bolt somebody else down to a yes or no question. The other one wants to get a meaningful answer. The other person takes their time back. It's all garbage. It's meaningless gobbledygook. Nobody cares. It's a colossal waste of time. They are accomplishing nothing with this hearing, nothing whatsoever. The fact that the congresswoman is pointing to the people in the back and saying that the victims are here. She's exploiting the victims. It's ridiculous. They don't talk about the fact that the vast majority of the people who ever went to Epstein Island, it's like some 90% of them are all Democrats. The whole thing is just garbage. It's nonsense. And then when you look at the current Department of Justice's job, look, they have not done a great job. I think Pam Bondi is defending herself well today. But having said all of that, they have not been transparent. They have not delivered on their promises to the American people in a timely manner. And when they have turned things over sloppily. They have turned things over haphazardly. And they're still redacting very important information. The American public wants accountability. They want it yesterday. And, you know, anything short of 100% transparency on the Epstein matter is just going to fall short of getting the job done, Brianna.
Yeah, well, McBride, this is the problem here, right? Because we were actually playing a clip earlier in the show of one of the members of Congress, a Democrat, who was listing the six men who their names were redacted under the original document dump. And now since, you know, Congressman Massey has gone back and asked these questions, they've unredacted these names. But here's my problem with all of this. Not every name that's being dropped in these Epstein files are men who are associated with sexually abusing children. And the problem is we see that the DOJ, which and you could probably break down the legal side of all of this. The DOJ, according to the actual law itself, we're only supposed to redact the names of the actual victims, but we're seeing that there's an email that talks about potentially preventing very high up officials from having their names released in all of this and kind of going through, should we redact these names? There was that email. But most importantly, we see that these names of these men were redacted when they shouldn't have been redacted. And so the DOJ's issued these corrections. We saw that Todd Blanche said that there was a lot of legal reasons for some of this, even saying that the email address that he's redacting, you can't show the actual email addresses for legal reasons. But can you show like the first name of the person that's being emailed? I mean, can you show us some of the email? Like, how does this work legally?
It all really depends. So when it comes to personal identifying information, social security number, passport number, licenses, email addresses, home addresses, the vast majority of the times these things are redacted because somebody can get doxxed. There's safety concerns. There's financial concerns. I think all that is pretty commonsensical. But when it comes into the actual names of people who were there, especially those who aren't implicated in any crimes, the question is, well, why are these people having their names redacted? I think the answer is pretty simple and straightforward. It's reputation warfare. It's reputation management. These people are calling. These people are pleading. These people are begging. They're saying, I don't want to be associated with this. And look, I don't blame them. But look, if you were involved with Epstein at any point and at any time, and if there are communications between you and him, you're just going to have to, you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to bite the bullet on that one. A lot of bad things happen with this man. A lot of bad things happen in his network and on that island. And the need for the public to know the truth outweighs any personal private citizen's concern. And what we're seeing here is, you know, they're redacting these names up front to see if they can get this through good enough. The public is saying, no, it's not good enough. So now we're seeing an unraveling of the next layer. Hopefully we get the full truth and nothing but the truth. So help them God at the end of this. I don't know if that's going to happen, Brianna. The whole thing is ugly. It's a gigantic just shit show in there. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that anything good is going to come from it.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to get any closer to the truth at this point. I think quite obvious that a lot of stuff has been either deleted or we're just never going to get to it. And so it's really frustrating to sit back and watch. But I was surprised to hear that a lot of the victims haven't yet spoken to the DOJ. That was clear during today's hearing that they asked them to stand up or to stay, you know, standing if they have not yet spoken to the DOJ. That's deeply, deeply concerning because also they'll claim that there's a
problem. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, well, kind of break it down for us because they say it's an ongoing investigation still to this day. I mean, how is that even possible?
The federal government doesn't care about you, doesn't care about me. It doesn't care about these people. It never has and it never will. The federal government right now is interested in protecting the house. It's damage control season. It is how do we get through this with protecting the people who are important, the victims in these cases. You think about every whistleblower case, whether it's something related to cancer, a medical drug, 9/11, January 6th, whatever it is, the federal government does not care about you. It's not going to pay your rent. It's just going to take your taxes. And when you give it power, it's never going to relinquish power. It simply does not care. Their job is to protect the house, and that's why they have not spoken to these victims.
Yeah, and it's really frustrating because, again, this should be a top priority. They claim that it is, but it's obviously not the case. I want to shift gears over because we just got more kind of discouraging news, but there was a grand jury recently that just rejected the DOJ's attempt to indict the group of Dems, the lawmakers specifically, who created that video trying to call for, you know, those who are currently serving not to follow what they deem as illegal orders. They tried their very best to do just that. It looks like an indictment was rejected, was declined. and they will not be charging so far these six Democratic lawmakers who decided to put out that video. Obviously, we talked about it extensively on this show. We know Mark Kelly is internally being penalized by the Pentagon. But what do you make of this? Because it seems like the DOJ can't land indictments.
I don't like it. I think this is a personnel problem. Look, President Trump is a great president. He loves this country. He loves America. Personnel is not his strong suit. The people who are choosing these battles and picking these fights simply don't know what the hell they're doing. First and foremost, the case is weak on its face. Let the internal processes from the Department of War, the Pentagon, whatever the relevant military branches are, deal with these people internally. The fact that they made a video that people don't like and they said some questionable stuff, on its face, it's just not actionable. Then you compound that with the fact that you're trying to get an indictment in Washington, D.C. Are you out of your friggin' mind? It is never going to happen. So in the end, you have what looks like a political attack on members of the United States government by the opposition party in power. They're coming off looking like Joe Biden and Merrick Garland. It looks ridiculous. It failed. It was never going to win. It should have never happened. Look, are there more reasons why we don't like this? Do we hate the fact that members of our government told, you know, members of the military resist and this and that? Sure. Is there some leeway? Is there tradition where people can do that in this country? Yes. Should people be indicted for it? I don't think so. And was there ever going to be an indictment in a Washington D.C. district court that was ever going to come to fruition, that was ever going to pass muster, that they were going to vote to indict these people? It was never going to happen. Never going to happen. You got to choose your battles and you got to choose your wars wisely. This is poorly planned, poorly thought out, poorly executed, and it blew up in everybody's face.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't realize that there was even an attempt to get a grand jury involved in that one. So that was quite confusing. But most importantly, too, I mean, I know the Mark Kelly stuff was going on and he's also filed a civil lawsuit as well because he's not happy with how the Department of War kind of ruled in regards to his participation in this video, but we'll continue to follow it too. I would say, yeah, probably the grand jury is a waste of our resources, but I want to get to this one as well because this seems to be another loss for the DOJ. And this one actually comes at the hands of a Trump appointee, so I want to highlight just that. But obviously the DOJ and Harmy Dillon, she's trying, I think, her very best to gain access to the voter rolls to kind of sift through what's actually happening in a lot of states. And it's happening both in blue and red states that she's asking for this data. Well, sadly, a federal judge in Michigan has just dismissed the DOJ's lawsuit that sought to get the voter registration data from the states. This, again, is a Trump appointee who ruled that the existing federal voting laws do not mandate such disclosures. Now, this is not only Michigan. This is also Oregon and California who've also ruled the same way in all of this. Do you think upon appeal that they might actually get a victory here? Or do you think this is also dead on arrival?
I think it's dead on arrival. Look, if this stuff unravels with the election stuff, all the previous rulings, all the previous the Supreme Court rulings, other federal court rulings, they're all going to unravel as well. Courts and institutionalized systems to tend to protect the House. You're seeing it over and over and over again. I think Harmeet Dillon is great. Mm-hmm. I think she's doing a lot of great work over there where she's at. I think that she doesn't have the support system that she needs. Some of these appointments and some of these people that were hired were never given the budgets or were never given the people that they needed to make the meaningful impact across a wide variety of cases. And when you juxtapose that with the fact that you have hostile political actors sitting on the federal bench, it makes meaningfully litigating these cases very, very, very hard. Again, you have to choose your battles wisely. One battle to choose to fight the right way is the Epstein files. Another one is election interference. Sure, all this other stuff is nonsense. You got to choose your attack vectors wisely. You got to choose your points of attack wisely. You can't fight every battle. You can't win every war. And right now, they're losing all over the place. There are no points up on the board. And it's deeply concerning, especially going into the midterms and in the future, the 2028 election.
Yeah, well, we're keeping our eye on it. And we just had Wendy Mahoney on breaking down what's going on in Fulton County. And so, I mean, election integrity should be a top issue, but we're also not making the key reforms that we need to make. And like you said, by the way, a lot of key people not being properly funded in what we would hope would be more of a transformation period right now. I keep hearing that. I also keep hearing from folks at the DOJ that the resignation letters are starting to pile up. People are kind of getting their way out of there. And so that's really discouraging. A lot of key people who I hope stay in their positions, not really on board anymore. So it's kind of unfortunate, but you know, we've got things that we have to look forward to. And that one, it's kind of a weird pivot here, but that one is FISA. It's up for, obviously, its renewal in mid-April. And this is something that I'm extremely passionate about because I don't believe that FISA should be renewed if it allows the federal government to, without a warrant, spy on American citizens. And in clip 15, it's not me just feeling that way. It's also Senator Mike Lee. Take a listen.
That's why Congress has no business reauthorizing FISA 702, as it's being called upon to do in the coming months, without a warrant requirement applicable to inquiries involving U.S. citizens and other U.S. persons. The Fourth Amendment matters. And political warfare, lawfare, is bad. We shouldn't weaponize these things, and we should put in place protections to make sure that the Fourth Amendment's protections, fought for many centuries in this country, and that have a tradition that goes back centuries before we were even a country in England. These things matter. We have to make sure that they are not rendered dead letter. And I can tell you, we're heading dangerously in that direction now.
Yeah, it's obviously concerning. McBride, what's your take on all of this? Obviously, because I don't hear anyone else besides Lee talking about making sure that they aren't targeting Americans without warrants. So what's your takeaway?
Look, Lee is right, first and foremost. Look, the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution protects American citizens against warrantless intrusion by the United States government. That is a bedrock fundamental principle of American life. Without the Fourth Amendment, we're all in very, very big trouble. FISA courts are something that came about after 9/11, the Patriot Act. There was a lot of fear in the American consciousness, and the American citizenry gave away power to the United States government to go after terrorists. What this subsection 702 does, which I think it expires, the sunset provision is April 20th of this year. What it does is it allows the United States government, agencies in the United States government, to look at foreign actors absent a warrant. So if you're a terrorist or a person of interest in another country, we can look at you without a warrant. Okay, look, there are national security concerns. That makes sense. But what often happens in these investigations is that the communications of American citizens, their emails, their paperwork, their financial records, whatever it is, they get caught up in this dragnet of warrantless intrusion into other people's lives. So it begs the question, what happens when the United States government agencies, law enforcement agencies, come into possession of American citizens' private information absent a warrant? At that point in time, they should apply for a warrant to use that information, or they should have to mandatorily discard that information and seal it off somewhere. There is no stop provision in this Section 702 that protects the American citizens' right to be free from the prying eyes of the government into their life absent a warrant. So what Mike Lee is saying is hey, listen, either let this expire or let's revise this process to give the American citizen protection, because if his or her information gets exposed in these warrantless intrusions, they should have a right to say, hey, government, you can't look into my life absent a warrant, because that's what the Constitution says. Unfortunately, Brianna, I stated this early on in the appearance, and I'll state it again and again and again. Once the American government grabs power, it never relinquishes power. So I don't believe that, that Mike Lee is going to win here. I hope that he wins, but I think that the industrial complex, the spying complex, the power complex, the intelligence complex in the United States government has a vested interest in the acquisition of power, and it does not care about the private American citizen's right to be free from warrantless intrusion. So I don't think that we're going to win. I do think that we're going to lose on this. I think that the federal government will continue to grow in power, and that FISA courts will continue to be routinely used to circumvent the constitutional protections that American citizens are afforded in order to intrude into private citizens' lives. And they work hand in glove with the big tech complex as well.
Yeah, that's a big problem here. And we all know of it. well, we all know too well about it. Quick question before we go, though. John Cornyn, the senator from Texas, who's going to likely be replaced by Ken Paxton very, very soon if all goes well, he had the guts to go out and say during a Senate confirmation hearing for Pam Bondi, this was about a year ago, that no American has actually been targeted through FISA. Is that the case?
That is not the case. That is a material lie.
Yeah.
That is absolutely ridiculous. I can tell you, based on my own work as an attorney, when FISA courts were used against foreign nationals and American citizens, that FISA courts are routinely used against American citizens. FISA courts are disgusting. Look, there's no adversarial process. It's a prosecutor in a dark room in D.C. somewhere with a judge pointing a finger at somebody, whether they're an American citizen or not, saying that this person has connection to foreign ties. Therefore, we should raid their house. We should raid their bank accounts. We should look into their life. And then later, if we get what we need, maybe we'll apply for a warrant. Maybe we won't. We won't. It is absolute nonsense for this man to state that it's never been used against an American citizen. It's an absolute abject lie.
Yeah, he referred to it as disinformation. That's when I knew that we had to replace him. And we're looking forward
to doing just
that. Yeah, he is. But you know what, McBride, you're not an idiot. You're actually one of the most intelligent people I know. So, Joseph McBride, thank you for joining us. Folks, if you haven't done so already, give him a follow on X, McBride Law NYC. That's McBride Law NYC. He has some of the best takes. We obviously appreciate him coming on to join us today. So thank you for that. All right, folks, we're keeping our eye right now on AG Pam Bondi as she begins or continues to testify in front of the Judiciary Committee. Now, I don't want to bore you to death with all the details because, well, Jerry Nadler was caught again falling asleep. Take a look at this video. Nadler not really in the mood to be there. It's nap time for the Nadler. This is why term limits are so important. Most importantly, though, well, oh, time to wake up, sir. What? Oh, my gosh. These people are awful. I say it all the time. I'll say it again. Stop electing people we're smarter than. People like Jerry Nadler, total, I'll say brainless, Lamont. I'll say the other word. Brainless human being, absolutely worthless, has done nothing for New York City residents, of course, but he continues to get elected to his position and sits on some of the highest committee assignments and then uses it to fall asleep. Jerry Nadler, the man whose belly button holds up his pants every day, just taking a little nap during Pam Bondi's hearing today, because that's not important, right? Actually having to have discussions. That's probably actually why Pam Bondi flamed him earlier in the hearing as well, because, well, he's one of the many absolute losers that we have sitting in Congress, and we, the American people, could do significantly better. All right, folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 50% off all supplements when you subscribe. Go over there right now. Make a purchase. It's Alex Jones' birthday, so make sure if you're on X, wish him a happy birthday. That does it for me. The Alex Jones Show is up next. Don't go anywhere.
I see through a rose-colored darkly. That means I'm trying to tell you the truth, but I'm not always right just about 98% of the time. And bad guys of every stripe don't want this show on the air. But you're the good guys. You have to decide, hey, this guy's a fighter. This guy stood up for this. This guy has an incredible track record. We want to support him. And then I'm going to sell you something that really works so you love it and you get it again and again. And Bigly, our great sponsor, those yellowshowstore.com, no matter what happens, InfoWars, we continue on the Alex Jones Network that's been built. So key said, Alex, you keep getting it wrong. We don't have 84% reorder on Ultramethylene Blue. We don't have 76% reorder on the supplements and average. You're reading that wrong. That's on total customers. We have a 97% reorder from anybody that orders at thealexjonesstore.com. Well, that's a testament to you guys out there supporting us and how great the products are. Nobody, I mean, a site that has a 20% reorder is seen as successful. That is you being steadfast supporters, and I want to thank you. So we're running the biggest sale of the year right now, over 50% off on ultramethylene blue, on the bovine colostrum, on the new methylene red that's proprietary to us. on the Shilajit Complex, the Irish Sea Moss, Atomic Defense, and more. But it's only run until next Monday. Got 6 days to take action. TheAlexShowStore.com. Takes money to fight a war. We're fighting a war. Plus, the products are great. So please get yours now. Over 50% off, but it's an alert. Only a few days left. Thank you so much.